Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Spirit of Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Thursday, September 6th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. Again, I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Man, it seems like just yesterday I did a show. Oh, man. Well, here's the deal. I had no intentions to do more than one show this week, other than, of course, you know, the Two Moms One Show on Tuesday and mine on Wednesday. And I had some more stuff to talk about. Obviously I was in the middle of talking about the CZW show that I'm going to be watching on iPay-per-view this weekend. And then I was going to, you know, touch on Raw and that type of thing. And, you know, I just wasn't done. I didn't give my plugs. I didn't give none of that shit. So I wasn't even fucking done. And what happened was I fucking, all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of talking and boom, shit cuts off. Completely cuts off. Like, it just completely just hung up on my phone. Like, the service just hung up on my phone. So now I scramble, try to call back in, and now it's like, it's going through, I put in my host pin, all that, and as soon as I put in the host pin, it's like, all right, yeah, hit one to start the show. I hit one, give it like a beat, and then it hangs up on my phone. I did that shit 7 times in a row. It just hung up on my phone, hung up on my phone, hung up on my phone. I even tried it from the girl's phone, same thing. And it was just like, it completely resisting me finishing the show. So I was like, oh man, this sucks. That's where I put the little video up and shit last night. So then I look back at the website and it says some shit like, yeah, we're having problems with, you know, posts all across the board, like, our apologies, you know, sorry for the inconvenience. I'm just like, yo, what the fuck, man? Because first off, I was already on the fucking shit, and I just get cut the fuck off. Can't even get back on if I tried, and I'm supposed to be the host. So, see, here's my issue. It was only about 2 weeks ago that I had the problem with getting Two Moms, One Show on that night. And I couldn't do it. It wouldn't let me through at all. And that was it. And, like, you know, Mish and them were able to host it on their site. And I, you know what I mean? I had them jump over there and do the show. But they completely fucked me that night. And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, some problems, da, da, da. And, you know, I sent them an email about the whole thing. And I never got so much as a response. Now, you give these people $100 a month for the service that I get. And when the shit's fucked up and you're like, yo, man, like, yo, what's the deal with this? You don't even get a response. And then within 2 weeks, you get another problem. You get kicked off your own show. I mean, that is bullshit, man. Like, I'm really, really getting tired of this because, again, you pay what you pay. And then you don't even get like a, yo, let me knock something off your bill or something. Because when it comes down to it, like, it's hard enough to get people to follow your show and listen to it on a regular basis. I'm constantly struggling up and down and up and down with the numbers. And, you know, with the help of, you know, my friends from the other shows and stuff that, you know, I listen to, and, you know, my friends from over there, you know, be it the Wrestling Soup, the Stern Nation, the Sports Den, the, Women Love Wrestling too. Everybody. All these people I'm listening to, and, you know, they're plugging me and I'm plugging them. They help me tremendously, but it's still a roller coaster, and it's hard. And, I mean, it could be as simple as you have one bad show while someone who's never listened before listens, and they're going to go, that show sucks, you know? And, I mean, I do my best with content. I'm not the most professional show. I curse too much for, I'm sure, quite a few people, so it's not like, hey, you know, I'm doing everything professional wise that I can, and it's, they're holding me back. No, I mean, I'm just trying to do my thing and get as many people into my shit as possible. Now, when you got, you know, the whole thing sometimes not even letting you on, and mind you, when I called in tonight, you could see the show started like maybe a minute or two late. Because I was calling in like crazy, like 5 minutes to all the way until like showtime, and it wasn't even letting me through. And it was like, it had some kind of shit that like my phone wasn't even recognizing that I was supposed to be calling somebody. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do type shit, but maybe you want to call your this or that. So of course, I run around trying other phones and shit like this. Like, I don't need this fucking drama. I'm just trying to put on a show and be it what it be. And hopefully, you know, I get some people listening. But, man, that is so hard to get a following. And then especially on top of that, to have a bunch of people rely on, okay, I'm into this show now. I'm going to listen to this. And then like, I just get kicked the fuck off the air as the host. I mean, come on, man. Like, how do you expect to continue to make money off of people on your service when they can't rely on you whatsoever? And then they're relying on you, you know, to be just consistent in what you're doing so that they can get listeners who expect, you know, you to be on time and you to stay on as long as you're going to be on. Obviously, the show's not going to be off until, you know, dude gives his outro, his plugs or whatever. Not just up, like on some old phone-dyed shit. Like, who does that? That's not show quality type stuff. That's insane. So anyway, I figured I'm going to have fun with this like I always do. The mini-sodes, I'm kind of off the cuff, just all over the place. I got a bunch of things, clips and stuff to play for you guys. You know, just give you a little extra for, you know, anybody who's listening and the shit cut off. But then I think it still stayed on the air and it was just dead air for God knows how long. So, I'll just give you a little bit more. I got to, you know, finish up talking about the CZW show that's coming up this weekend. I'm going to read off the football picks that I didn't, because I got the football picks from my dude Ali, who's been on the air before, and my dude Stan, who's been on the show before. And, you know, Stan was actually pretty regularly on the show last year, and he may call in too. So I'm going to hold that off for a little bit just just so in case one of those dudes want to call in, I'll run down those picks and, you know, they could explain it or maybe talk about a game or two if they want. And that way, you know, it'll make a little more sense than me just going, Stan pick the Giants, Stan pick New Orleans, Stan pick, you know. So a little more entertaining probably. So I'll do that. Let me just, I think I might as well just go over and then start finishing talking about CZW, being that's where I was. All right, I think I left off somewhere with Rich Swann, Shane Strickland. Now, I think that this is a good booking. Like I said, it's a great idea to have Rich help develop a guy like Shane Strickland, who I think has a lot of talent, a lot of charisma, young up-and-coming guy. And, of course, Swann's going to be in and out of the company doing all sorts of Japan stuff and everywhere. You got Evolve in the same building doing the doubleheader. It makes all the sense in the world. Continue to do this. I mean, obviously, you can't go on some real long-term stuff with Swann, so why not allow him to help the young talent, which just a great idea. And Swan's a great dude, so I'm sure he has no problem in the world with it. Might have been his idea. I don't know. I have no, you know, background knowledge to that, so I'm not saying it is or it isn't or taking credit away from anyone. But I'm a big fan of that booking, so they're doing that again. Then you got Ohio's Four Killers, Sami Callihan and Jake Crist with Nevaeh ringside, taking on Mr. Tofiga and Alexander James. They're defending the tag titles. They ran the little angle thing where they have Freebird rules with the titles, so anybody in the Nation of Intoxication, you know, they could flip it around and they could, you know, anybody could defend those titles within that stable. So that's what they're doing there. All right. Wow, I'm tired as hell. Then they have the I botched the shit out of that. Ohio's for Killers is actually facing the Super Smash Brothers, and you know, that's Stupefied and Player Uno, and then Danny Havoc and Devin Moore are taking on Mr. Tofiga and Alexander James. For some reason, I don't think that came off right the first time. So you got that. Then you also got, this is the Chris Cash Memorial Ladder Match, title unification. Both titles are on the line. CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion, AR Fox versus CZW Wired TV Champion, Dave Crist. Both titles on the line. Ladder match, John. Match is going to be crazy. I mean, it really is. And then you got the main event, which is kind of somewhat of a dream match as far as I'm concerned. I could be wrong, but I don't think this has happened before. You got Masada versus El Generico. Masada defending his title against El Generico. That's a great fucking booking. So I'm looking forward to that. Definitely some good stuff there. And yeah, I'll be checking that out. Anybody else who would like to check that out on iPay-per-view, you can go to, let me see. You can go to hybrid.ent.com and you can get that over there. And see, I sign up and buy shit and I don't even remember what the fuck it's called. So yeah, that's that professionalism. So yeah, that's what you got there. Let me see 1 second. See if I can get somebody on the line. All right. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that show. Like I said, I couldn't order last month's show because DJ put himself on the main event, and I'm just completely boycotting that from happening. So, you know, it's not a whole lot of money out of their pocket, but it's going to be something. Every time he books himself in the main event, if it's Cage of Death, man, that sucks because I'd hate to miss it, but I will. I promise you I will miss a show. I won't pay for a show that has DJ on the main event. So, you know, you could go Tremont and fucking DJ in the cage fucking main event. Well, you better make it a double main event, and you better not put yourself as a fucking last match because I will not buy it. Unless you do a bait and switch, you won't see me paying for anything that has you fucking closing the show. Not with a match. I just, you know, it's not necessary. It's really not. So that's that. What else? Oh, yeah, and then obviously they have the Evolve show, which I'm not going to be ordering because, you know, money's not that easy. Let me see. Evolve is doing their show. Oh, boy. I didn't really write much down tonight because I didn't expect to be doing a second show. So, and then it's, yeah, just a little behind, you know? Yeah, Evolve's doing theirs, and it's going to be... I thought I had it, but I didn't. Trying to find a time and all that. It's going to be a 4:30 show, and that one you can check at www.wwnlive.com if you want to check it out. I think that's a 5 p.m. start. And, yeah, that's where you could check that out there. All right. So let me see what else I got. All right, well, I got some WWE stuff to talk. I got some other stuff to talk. What did I want to get into real quick? Let me play a track, and then I'll come back and see if I got anybody online, and we'll see what's up. All right.
Yeah, we see you bust a bottle, let your living people stuntin', then we coming by the bar, get the fuckin' up your front and puttin' pressure on them. We puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them. Okay, we see you when your fans are mackin' cocky with your misses. Yeah, you ballin' till you see us pull up, but now that them bitches puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them. Hey, yo, when we do this shit, now tell me why is you competing when I be that type of nigga that get money when I'm sleeping and when I'm farting and shit, and I cop countries on the weekend, so ambitious. My accountants cop continents when I'm eating foaming. Bust the most dominant, start retreating, beat the street up, shit be standing remarkable when I'm speaking, homie. Huge rechargeable batteries, bitch, I'm tweaking only. Short circuit, electric chair, voltages, every feature, Coley. Like I'm short for breath, drowning in money rushes. Fuck a blunt, bitch, I'm inhaling muffle of smoke from buses. I defend my money like soldiers, I come to punish. Defense mechanism from infections, the way that pus is. Ain't no fucking around, I'm frontin', get it, ass for getting this bread. I'm like vomit, so disgusting with it. Here's my other alias, don't forget it. Call me Snowblower, blower, blowing this bread like it's nothing, yeah, with it. Yeah, you bust a bottle, let your living people stuntin', then we coming by the bar, get the fuckin' up your front and puttin' pressure on them. We puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them. Okay, we see you when your fans are mackin' cocky with your misses. Yeah, you ballin' till you see us pull up, but now that them bitches puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them.
Okay, we the F, baby, man, I gotta put the pressure on them. Young Money, the special team, we so Devin Nessa on them. Right up on your girl lips, got my dick resting on them. Soon as it woke up, it came and left it on them. Swag with no effort on them, quicker than a leopard on them. If he got beef, watch me sprinkle salt and pepper on them. No Cinderella, just plenty metal for any fellow. Semi settle everything for me and everything for me. Smoking on that G13 and everything funny. Especially y'all bitch ass niggas, kiss ass niggas, blood game, Six Flags nigga, no roller coaster. Real shit, we hold a bread, the hoes hold a toast. Young Casanova, I've been their asses over. She say my dick stronger than a six pack of cola. Man, I'm so fly, I got arachnophobia. Pressure bust pipes, but we did bust,
yeah,
twice.
Yeah, you bust the bottle, let your living people stuntin', then we coming by the bar, get the fucking up your front and puttin' pressure on them. We puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them. Okay, we see you when your fans are mackin' cocky with your misses. Yeah, you fall until you see us pull up, but now that them bitches puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them, we puttin' pressure on them.
Alright, yeah, that's what it is there. Now, let me see what I got, what I got. Alright, I guess I'll go on the Raw a little bit. I only have a few things about, you know, talk about with Raw. I don't know. It just, that product really kind of just turns me off for the most part. There's a few things here and there that, you know, stand out. And, you know, the one angle they're working, you know, I'll get into a little bit, is actually looking promising. And, But first off, they had the whole thing started out, and you know they're in Chicago, so CM Punk starts coming out, cutting promo, getting all the fans all riled up behind him and everything. Then pretty much says, "Yeah, so you know it's Labor Day, and yeah, you guys had a day off, so I'm gonna take a day off." And he bounces, and, you know, and you know he tells AJ like, "Yeah, I'm out and shit." You know what I mean, like, "Yeah, I got personal days. This is one of them." Bounce, and then you know pulls away in the car. And in a limo, and then she's like, "Oh, no, Sheamus, don't leave the ring. You know, I'll find someone to go against you." So she ends up getting Swagger to go in there, and it's crazy because they had him, you know, more or less job to Sheamus, but Ryback ripped him apart in far quicker time than Sheamus did. So kind of weird because you got a belt on the one dude and not a belt on the other dude, and the guy without the belt is looking stronger against the same guy, you know, back-to-back weeks. And then Swagger more or less goes on some shit, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm better than this, and, you know, I'm just better than this. I'm upset. I'm out of here." And she's like, don't leave, which I think is retarded because he already had his match, so I can't even see, like, why she's like, "Yeah, no, we just like to, you know, just sit here and stuff." Like, there was no connection there other than her being GM, and it doesn't make any damn sense. You know, one thing I'll say, you know, towards the end of this with him, but it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, for a minute I thought they were going to cut him or something because the way that they were going, pretty much doing nothing. They separated him from Dolph and Vicky, and then now it's just like, all right, job team, and then now he's playing the press guy or something like that, man. So anyway, then the other segment they've been running, it's pretty funny, is that whole Kane and Daniel Bryan segment where they're doing the anger management and all that. So I think that's pretty entertaining stuff. I didn't like where it led to the whole hug it out bullshit because I thought that was dumb as hell. You had fucking, you know, all of a sudden it's like a fan poll. Would you like to see these guys wrestle each other? Would you like to see these guys tag up against somebody? Or would you like to see them hug? The fans voted they want to see them hug. Get the fuck out of here. No fans of wrestling are like, "Do you want to see two guys fucking team up, wrestle each other, or hug?" And they're like, "Fucking hug!" Like, no. Dude, come on. Like, stop playing my fucking intelligence. You want to play your little segments? Find another way to get to it. Don't try to tell me as a grown-ass man that wrestling fans unanimously voted on they want two dudes to hug in the ring rather than any other wrestling shit. I mean, y'all dead wrong with that shit. I mean, that's not right. So, but the rest of the whole angle that they've been doing and all that is funny. So I can't completely shit on it, but that leading up to the, oh man, that was painful. And then you got the Vicky debacle, as I'll call it. You know, she comes out there and more or less starts talking shit to AJ. AJ comes out, she's like, "Yeah, you know, the board of directors told me, you know, I can't jump on you and shit. That's just intolerable. I can't put my hands on you at all." So then Vicky just starts smacking the shit out of her. And laughs in her face and smacks the shit out of her and all that. And then just bounces. Just like, fucking just laughs at her the whole way. And now AJ, who's supposed to be GM, whatever, now she's snapping, just like fucking throwing chairs around and hitting the fucking, almost killing herself with the chair. And, you know, and just hitting the ring with the chair and shit. Now, here's my question. You're GM. Why the fuck doesn't she fucking put one of those crazy little smiles on her face, you know, once she gets smacked? Turn to, you know, keep your head faced that way and then, like, slowly turn back and have a smile on your face and be like, "That's cool, because now I know who Ryback's next opponent is," or some shit like that, you know what I mean? Or like, "Oh, you know, that's funny, because, you know, you're kind of in a gauntlet match later," Or, you know, I mean, there's so much, like, you can enforce out of being a GM. You're just going to let some bitch smack the shit out of you because you ain't allowed to put your hands on them, and now you're just going to freak out in the ring? I keep saying it. This AJ's GM thing is a failed experiment. She has, you know, some acting ability. She has the ability to do some things right that'll make it look good on camera. GM is, to me, is really not good. The skipping as GM sucks. Stopped skipping. And the kind of crazy, but not crazy, then begging people, then being crazy, then being, vindictive, but then begging people, other people to stay, and why is everyone leaving me? And like, it's just amateur looking shit. It's really not, it doesn't have a good look to it, in my opinion. So that's more or less how I see that whole angle. And I mean, maybe next week she'll come back and she'll start just running Vicky through a fucking gauntlet. Like, okay, now you got to do this. Oh, you want to fucking hit people? Okay, yeah, good. Well, we'll do some of that. And, maybe they'll do that. I don't really know. But I'm not optimistic towards it because just the way that they make the whole angle look, everything look there just looks like shit. So that's my opinion on that. Then you got the close to the show. Yeah, I know I skipped a lot of shit because it doesn't interest me. The close to the show where they got Cena finishes his match, CM Punk runs up in the back and jumps him and shit, knocks the shit out of him, whatever, and then fucking jumps in the car. As the car starts to pull away, the window comes down and Paul Heyman sticks his head out and looks down at Cena. So, personally, I think this shit is cool as hell. Now, one, I hope that Brock Lesnar is not gone from the WWE, and that's, you know, a work, which I thought it was a work from the start when he said, yeah, I'm never coming back, I'm gone. Now, it could go two ways. Either we're building this super stable, which you got CM Punk, and you got Brock Lesnar, and possibly, like, a Jack Swagger, because Swagger walked away like, I'm better than this, I need better, blah. Very possible that he could be, you know, another, like, a lackey amongst that clique. I mean, you got a pretty badass squad when you look at it like that, if that's the way it's going. So, personally, I like it. I'm hoping it's not like, yeah, Brock's definitely gone, and now this is going to be the replacement for Brock is going to be CM Punk. It'll still work, but I would rather this form some kind of super stable. And, yeah, this actually, I think as soon as, you know, Paul Heyman comes into the picture, we're talking Punk is now a heel. Let's stop with the tweener talk, all that bullshit. Punk is a heel. He'll be a smile in your face heel, but that does not make him a tweener or any of that shit. He's a heel. All right, I got a call. You.
Yo, what's going on, JK? How you doing, man? It's Eric.
Chilling, Eric. Chilling, man. What's going on?
I want to laugh right now, and I have to laugh. Blog Talk Radio, wow, they're doing some good shit. So I was on mute, and you took me on off mute, and when you took me off mute, it says unmuted.
Wow.
Yeah, Blog Talk, more bang for the buck, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. They bang you for your bucks, that's for sure.
Yeah, they definitely do bang. They fucking, oh, never mind. Sorry. Yo, I heard you talking about the CM Punk, Paul Heyman
right.
Thing. Fucking love it, man. I cannot wait. You know, I love the ending to Raw. I love the whole, you didn't get to that yet, but.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did? Okay. I thought you were.
Yeah.
I just caught the tail end of that. But I love the ending to Raw. Cena and Del Rio, you know, the whole ending was awesome. This Punk comes out of nowhere and boom, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy.
So now do you think it's going to be we're forming a super stable now and you're going to have Brock Lesnar and you're going to have CM Punk and, you know, possibly other people? I was thinking with the Jack Swagger walking away like he did, maybe he's going to go from, like, the beaten down, depressed guy to being, you know, a super heel stable guy and, you know, maybe be part of that and be reinvented. Even Swagger aside, is Brock...
I don't know about the whole Swagger being a part of it.
Right. Like I'm saying, even Swagger aside, what about the Brock thing?
I like it a lot. Do I think it's going to happen? I'm 50-50 on it. Because, yeah. I mean, like I said, everything changes every 5 minutes in WWE. They'll be like, oh, let's do this angle. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, it's like, now let's do this, something different. You know?
Right.
I mean, the angle sounds amazing, and, you know, they could do something, you know. I mean, I'm hearing Lesnar comes back at Survivor Series. You know, they could do this setting up in the Survivor Series. Have, like, super, you know, the super stable versus Team Cena, you know, Cena, Sheamus, and, you know.
What's Survivor Series, like, November?
Yeah, yep. I think that's Lesnar's next. Maybe they could have Triple H part of that. You know, Triple H, Sheamus, Cena,
well,
somebody else.
I don't know if you saw, but Triple H cut his hair. He looks like a hedgehog now.
He looks hilarious. Yes, he does. He looks funny as hell.
And
I think TMZ first reported that. Like, how
right.
Like, what?
From what I hear, and I mean, they've been kind of reporting it, but not really putting it out like straight up on the air type thing. So and with the haircut, I wonder how legit it is. But from what they're saying, I forget the exact date, but it's sometime in October.
Oh yeah, October 12th.
Yeah, is officially supposed to change hands between Vince McMahon and Triple H being the new owner, more or less, of WWE.
Right. And I like that. I fucking think that it's been, you know, and honestly, I'm going to say it's not a shock. It's not a shock to anybody, wrestling fan or not. You know, if you follow WWE, you know that Triple H has been in the
waiting in the
helm for quite a while now. I mean, when you marry the boss's daughter and the boss is just getting tired of it, I think it's pretty much he wants to retire type deal.
Right.
I don't think there's, you know. But, you know, like I said, I think the company will be in good hands.
Right.
With Triple H at the helm. I think a lot of people...
I guess.
I mean, what do you think about the people that say that WWE would be in... Like, I've heard numerous people say, oh, well, if he's in charge, the company's going downhill. Like, what do you think about that, like, whole mindset?
I mean, really going to have to see how it plays out, because one thing I've heard is when Triple H takes power, he's going to completely eliminate the Divas division. There will be no more women's wrestling on WWE TV. Now, personally, I think the division as a whole has become a joke on WWE ETV, but I don't think that it can't be reinvented. I think it just scrapped the idea as women don't belong on TV type thing unless they're valets or eye candy or whatever. I think that's not good at all. And I'm sure any women's wrestler out there that takes wrestling seriously would agree with me. But, you know, from what I hear, he's got a little bit more wanting to do things with the tag division that's been forgotten about for a long time. So I don't know. I mean, it's like any changing of hands. There's probably a lot of things he's been wanting to do that Vince has said, no, I don't want to do that. And, of course, Triple H has had a lot of power, but not all of it. So I think some things will change, and there'll be some for the positive, some for the negative. I guess it's going to be up to each individual, you know, viewer to figure out whether it's good for them or not.
Right, right. No, I understand with that. But, like, I think there's a lot of those guys that, like, you always hear, you know, once he gets into power, like, you always hear the guys like McIntyre, Sheamus, and, you know, the guys that he, like, you know, they say he used to work out with, I'm pretty sure they'll get the big push or the, you know, they'll be taken care of as far as that goes.
As far as Sheamus, he couldn't be pushed any more than he already has. I think his character is very bland. He was a guy who I had no problem with for a long time, and now he's just become just really, there's nothing exciting about him. You know, it's just, hey, fella, this and that, fella, brother this, here's a bro kick, fucking, okay.
He's become more of a comedy guy, he's kind of like doing a lot of goofy stuff with that whole Del Rio stealing his car and, you know, hey, fella, like doing, like, goofy shit. Like, I feel like he's become more of like he was a serious guy. I liked him more as a heel because he was just,
yeah,
you know,
I guess.
Destroying
I guess
people,
he's too
know?
Smiley and fucking, you know, like, I don't know. Something about it just comes off stupid. He's supposed to be a bruiser. Bruisers don't run around smiling ear to ear all the time like the fucking the dude on the ice cream truck. Like, it just doesn't make any damn sense. Yeah, he looks like Mr. Softy out there, fucking smiling all over the ring.
Right.
And, so,
Mr.
but,
Softy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't like it, but that's his boy. That's his workout partner, all that stuff. Sin Cara has only had a job for as long as he has through wellness policies, injuries, and botches from start to finish because Triple H was a guy backing him. And Triple H jumped on his bandwagon, like, probably 2 years too late. So,
right.
I don't know. Like, with the amount of ego that he puts behind his decision, he needs to learn how to admit a mistake and move on.
Right.
You know, he can make a lot of good decisions, but if he makes a bad one, he can't just marry himself to it and go, I don't care what anybody says, I'm doing it anyway, forever. Damn, man, really? There's no better luchas out there? I beg to differ.
There's a shitload. There's a shit ton
of
luchas. Samurai Del Sol.
Yeah, even like your American luchas, like Samurai Del Sol, and, well, you know, El Generico's Canadian, but bring him in. Bring Ricochet. Bring in, well, some, I mean, I had heard that they brought in Pac, and then I don't see much. So maybe he's in developmental. Maybe they'll bury him in developmental like they do half these guys. But, and I haven't seen his name on too many Dragon Gate USA cards. So
yeah, he's definitely in development. I think they're waiting. Like, I think they're working out some type of deal with the visa or whatever. Well, I was just watching NXT recent show and fucking Hero, man, Cassius Ohno. Like, they're letting him talk and they're letting him beat the crap out of people. Like, I think he'll be on the main roster within the next 2 or 3 months.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Do you think NXT is a just online thing?
Yeah, you can watch on YouTube.
Okay, yeah, because I really haven't caught any of it because I really don't know how, and I just like, that whole online thing was.
Yeah, they're doing a whole thing with him and Richie Steamboat, so that should be good. I like Steamboat. I think he's actually very good. You know, Richie Steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
From watching this, you know, watching some Florida Championship Wrestling.
All right.
Let me go here on a rant here, WWE related.
All right.
They started doing this show called Saturday Morning Slam or whatever. I don't know what.
The kids show.
Oh my gosh, I got a chance.
One for
to
the
watch
kiddies.
It. Oh my gosh, I got a chance.
Did you get
to
a
watch
bowl
it.
Of cereal? Sit down and watch that one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Some Captain
and honestly,
Crunch and some Saturday Morning
show.
Wrestling.
What a corny show! Come on, so corny. And honestly, they had the one week I watched Brodus Clay versus Curt Hawkins. They wrestled before it was a 30-second match. You know how long the match was this time? 8.5 minutes.
Wow.
And Brodus is like, just, you know, they used to use him in like a dominating role. Now they're letting him wrestle more. And I feel that's hurting him. Like, I feel that him squashing people was better, you know?
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, he wasn't dominating enough. You really can't have Ryback squashing people and then have Brodus squashing people, because then Brodus' squashes look like shit. Brodus is really an entertainer. That's what he's made for. He's made for the kids. He's everybody dance. Oh, until one of his dancers gets fucking caught drunk driving and tries to bribe the cops 10 G's to get out of it. Well, then it's not a kid thing anymore, but otherwise, he's meant to be a kid thing.
Right. It's funny because they all drive together. I was at a house show in my hometown a little bit ago, and we went to the back, like, outside, and Brodus was driving him and the Funkettes.
Yeah.
So I guess they drive to each other on the house shows. So.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think it was this time because it was said to be one unidentified male, and that was it in the car. And they really didn't make any other mention of that. And I think somebody would have, like, found out that it was Brodus or it was such and such. So I don't know if it was, you know, someone she's with or whatever that no one really cares about, so it didn't come out, or what it is. But she was the one that supposedly was driving and, you know, tried to bribe the cop $10,000 and shit so no one would know. And then,
oh my gosh.
She suspended 15 days, and you've seen immediately Brodus Clay is not on Raw, so it's like he's more or less going to be half suspended too. Probably work dark matches and stuff, but they don't want to expose it to the TV that one of the Funkadactyls is not on.
Missing in action. And they'll be like, yeah. Oh, they can't really explain why. You know, she didn't get attacked by anybody, so.
Right, right.
But, yeah, what a corny show. And I remember, like, you know, I used to watch Mania back in the day, you know, when they used to have Mania with Todd Pettengill. And it wasn't that corny back then. Now it's freaking super corny.
Right.
Everything is super corny. Like, oh, and watch Rey Mysterio as he talks about his signature move, the 619. And I'm like, are you serious? Can I get a Jesus? You know?
I hear you, man. Nah, I definitely
and
hear
like,
you.
I mean, I understand the whole thing. I mean, I thought it was funny because they were like, you know, like before they went to like any like oh intro, it says PVG. I was like, huh? They go from TV PG PG-13 to G.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's expected for what it is for the kid. But I mean, back in the day, you had Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. You know, probably a little more put into that. But in the same token, it's
did they blur when on Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling? Did they blur out any T-shirt that wasn't WWE T-shirt?
Well, no, it was a cartoon, so they didn't draw any T-shirts
well,
that weren't WWE T-shirt.
You know that Saturday Morning Slam? They do that? They blur out any T-shirt that's not WWE?
Yeah, and I hear they change the crowd reactions and everything. It's, you know.
It's so stupid. I can't believe it. People are just sitting there like they're not even cheering, and you hear, like they're definitely canned heat. I'm like, wow, come on. Like,
absolutely.
Pay the people to tell, you know. Does that, I don't know if you would know this. You know, you've been a wrestling fan longer than I have. Is that guy that sign guys, do they still have that guy working for the company? The guy that hands out the signs? Do you know about that or no?
I have never been to a live WWE event, so I really couldn't tell you because they really, you know, they don't exactly advertise the guy, so I really wouldn't know, but I'd imagine they have some kind of they pipe in some audio and they definitely, you know, they try to promote whatever they're trying to get over, so it wouldn't shock me to know that they still do, you know,
because on that show I had to laugh and you'll laugh at this one. They had this little kid holding up a sign and he looked like the most miserable person, and it says I'm the number one coal miner.
Oh, God.
And I was like, are you serious? Like,
yeah, no one,
that would be
no
the day that any kid around me were holding that coal miner's sign. I'd probably have to laugh at them.
Yeah. That's pretty pathetic. Man, did you see the preview for the face-off, the new Jack and Balls Mahoney thing?
Oh, yes, I did.
what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? I have to say it now, and you're gonna get a laugh at it. You're probably gonna laugh at this, but I think it's fucking hilarious that during the shoot interview, the person that got the interview, this whole thing together, Rob Feinstein, ran away. He ran away, and he got legit scared.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me.
I think that's funny. Because when you have New Jack and Balls, I mean, I don't know what he was doing, but I had to laugh. I was telling my friend, I was like, I think it's funny, and it was. I said this like on Monday, and so, I mean, not Monday. It was yesterday before the show.
Right.
Because then I heard the show, and you said the same thing. I thought it was funny how there was a CZ, like when they were showing like the beginning part where they were walking in, I was like, that's right across the arena. I'm like, they freaking used the school. And I'm like, that's hilarious. I'm like, that's why, because DJ was like, oh, just about to go watch the face-off. And I was like, he would. That freaking Mark would freaking, you know, he would allow that to happen. And, you know, and they were showing, like, the CZW logo. Why would DJ, the company's going downhill as it is. Now they have they're now associating with this kind of garbage. you know, with
people. Honestly, I got to disagree with that because I think it's a great promotional tool. I think this as much of a train wreck as this face-off is, it's something that people are going to want to see. So
right,
all the people
no,
that see that are going to also be fucking catching glimpse of the CZW logo nonstop throughout the shoot. And it's like, okay, well, maybe. I mean, if it plants some kind of, you know, subliminal seed and then someone says, oh, CZW, all right. Oh, that was where that shit happened. That, you know, that crazy shit happened over there. You know, and you never know. I just don't think it's a terrible thing. I mean,
I don't think
it's
a terrible thing, but I think it's just it's something DJ would have done. Like I'm calling. I'm pretty much saying that I figured DJ would do something like this. You know what I mean? Just to get himself over, because he was, you know, you could tell that he's CZW. You know that DJ owns the company, and you know what I'm saying. So it's like, oh, he's trying to get himself in. I'm pretty much I'm not like saying it's a bad decision. I'm saying it's fucking, you know, go figure DJ would do that.
Sure. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it's coming out on September 11th. Never forget.
Never surrender.
You know.
Never forget. I can't believe. I always say never surrender your money towards Rob Feinstein.
Right. Your child,
yeah, or your. I won't pretend you said 18.
Right,
anyway,
right.
I heard that laugh. I was dying when you said that on the air.
Yeah,
oh, crap,
but I
fuck up.
Me myself, like recently, I've been really into these fucking crazy train wreck shoots and like the severely comedic shoots. So another one that I obtained, but I haven't watched it yet. And I had made mention of it, but I actually have a clip from it that I want to play right now. It's like a 3-minute clip, and this is some funny shit. This is Perry Saturn talking about the Rhino. Not Rhino the wrestler, the Rhino. Check this shit out. There we go.
I can tell you a story. Me and Raven, we would go out. Well, I got a couple Raven stories. One time we were in Florida. When we used to go down there for them tapings they did at Universal, WCW.
Sure.
You're stuck in Kissimmee for like 3 weeks with nothing to do. And we were at this hotel. I don't remember the name of it. All fucked up. We had these two strippers in there. And we were kind of like, as stupid as we are, bored now. So we go down to the store, we come back, we got one of them slip and slides, and we set it up in the hallway. We take apart the sink in the bathroom, hook the hose up to it, and we have the girl sitting on the other end naked with her legs spread. I have a strap-on dildo wrapped around my head, and I'm laid on my back, and Raven is shoving me down the slip and slide trying to get it in there, and when we weren't going fast enough, so then I come up with the idea of rocket propulsion, and I got the fire extinguisher. At this point, security's there because we've flooded the floor underneath us now. Raven shoves me. I hit the fire extinguisher, which if you don't know about fire extinguishers, what they do is they take all the oxygen out of the air. So now Raven can't breathe. The security's trying to get us. We're running down the hallway. I'm naked. I got a strap-on dildo bouncing around on my head. We all got thrown out of the hotel. Everybody, they threw all the boys out, not just us.
That should have been the poster for the first ECW pay-per-view.
We were in WCW.
WCW, okay. Yeah. Well, even worse. Well, you know, the next question, Scott from Pennsylvania, what's your craziest rat story? I think that qualifies.
One time, me and Raven had Billy Kidman we used to call it the Rhino, and he had the strap on, and we put it on a pair of wrestling headgear like Rick Steiner wears, and Lodi would always have signs on TV like Autumn loves the Rhino and stuff like that. And we had Kidman picked up in the air, me and Raven, with this girl who started going into like some sort of orgasmic convulsions and twitching and hopping. She snapped Kidman right out of our hands and was hopping all over. Next thing you know, Kidman gets up. The thing's crooked. His hair's all over the place. He falls back.
I defy anyone to find that in a porno ever. Ron Jeremy, nobody. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, the Rhino. Raven used to carry that thing around in his bag, going through airport security and shit. Now they'd have it out, wanting to know what was going on. Yeah, the Rhino. If you look back at the old WCW tapes, most of them signs Lodi had some sort of sexual something with it. They called the Flock is me, Raven, and Kidman. Disco was always with us, though he wasn't part of the Flock. And they named that summer the Mauling Tour because we mauled women all across the country.
Jesus. I don't think Motley Crue could.
Yeah, so
that's funny.
That's some of what you could look forward to in watching Perry Saturn shoot. I've never heard anything like that before, where, you know, guys were in a motel and they just decided to fucking get a slip and slide and try to fly dudes up into bitches. I mean, that's just unfucking real. So, yeah, I don't know what you think about that, but I would obtain that if you could.
Oh, that's awesome. I got the chance to see the Sonny shoot, one of these Farnstein just did.
Yeah.
What a train wreck that was. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
Come on. And he just announced on today that she's going to be doing the Evolve and CZW show. He got her booked for the CZW show, and that they're going to be on the road with Sonny this weekend.
Wow,
and
Jesus
they're going to be doing
Christ.
A mini shoot about rehab with Sonny.
Jesus
so that
Christ.
Sonny's going to be on the CZW show.
Well, what has it been, a month or 2 months that she's actually been,
a month,
quote unquote,
a month,
in it? A month, yeah. I can't even fathom this. It's ridiculous. Just watching that preview thing. I feel bad, but in the same token, I'm like, dude. And like I said on last night's show, like, he went out of his way to make sure, like, hey, I handed you money. Can you make sure you tell people that I'm not exploiting you? Like, oh, no, you're not exploiting me. Oh, no, I love crack.
Right.
So,
right. And even the boyfriend was like, no, you're not exploiting. Well, he got some money, too. You know what I'm saying? So I don't hear that.
I was supporting,
like,
all the habits.
She was talking about,
like,
the rehab thing before, and then she was, like, saying, oh, how she was luxurious, and she was, she would sneak alcohol. Like, if it's not going to work now, and she was there for 3 months. She was only there for a week and a half or 2 weeks.
She's a fucker,
yeah,
dude. Well, I got Stan on the line, so I'm going to put Stan on.
Oh, shit, what's going on? Oh, damn.
Yo, Stan.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much.
Did you hear that Perry Saturn clip?
No, I did not. I just got home, just got on now.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to go back and listen to that. I'm not going to play it again, but, man, you've never heard stories like this. It's fantastic. All I got to say is the Rhino.
Okay.
Not the wrestler. Oh, man. Crazy hotel rat stories and stuff that he's got. He's got a shoot interview that's out, and, oh, man. I haven't watched the full thing yet, but I do have it, and I played the preview a minute ago, and it's pretty outstanding. And then we were just talking about Sunny and her train wreck shoot. She does this. It was like a day before she went into rehab, and just like slurring and babbling about how she was fucked up all her career, and I don't know, crazy stuff. I didn't watch that. It's too upsetting.
Well, you were talking about it yesterday, I guess it was, or maybe
right,
even last week with the Balls Mahoney New Jack thing.
New Jack, yep.
It is very sad to me when I sit there and you listen to what these guys are doing and everything, and not that they had, like, superstar careers and should be set for life for what they did in the wrestling business, but
right.
At the same time, it's kind of sad that, you know, now they're, whatever, 45, pushing 50, or whatever their age is, and this is what their life has become. To the point where they're going on camera and just releasing all this stuff for a couple bucks because it can't be much, and
right.
You know, it's very sad just to see where they're at in life and how their life has turned.
Definitely, dude. You know how Balls used to look. I'd be surprised if Balls weighs over 200 pounds now. Like, he is fucking sickly looking, like really sickly looking.
And he was a legit 280, 290 for the longest time.
Yeah, he is a shriveled-looking mess, dude. Like, he looks like he's going to die, dude. I don't, you know, but I don't know, man. He got into that thing with New Jack, and then, you know, New Jack said some stuff about some stuff that was going on with him, and he went on and did a shoot. New Jack always does shoots, so, of course, New Jack had a bunch of shit to say to start with, and then he did more or less a counter shoot where he just dropped, like, 5-10 N-bombs on New Jack, which is probably not the best thing to do, so that's kind of what lit that up.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I was thinking about it last night when I listened to your show on the On Demand or podcast or whatever you want to call it.
Right, right.
It's, you know, the industry as a whole, and I don't know if you've ever talked about this or if this is, like, a little deep or whatever, but I'm sitting there last night thinking, you know, if you get X amount of innings in the Major League, you get a pension. You get X amount of games in the NFL, you get a pension. But you put X amount of matches in, you get nothing from the WWE, WCW, or whatever thing there is. And there really should be something, so these guys aren't in this position later on in their lives. WWE
yeah.
and Vince McMahon and everything are ridiculously rich. And I'm not saying they got to give all their money away, but there should be something set up, some kind of, you know, pension program or some kind of help for these guys so that they're not in these situations.
Oh, definitely. And anybody, the one thing that I give Vince credit for is anybody who's worked even one day for the WWE, the one thing that they do give them is anybody wants rehab, they'll pay for it. All you got to do is want it, and they'll pay for it. The majority
right.
of these guys don't even want it, though. You know what I mean? Because this is kind of what keeps them going. They're not going to hand you enormous checks to live the rest of your life. But if you want to go get clean and you worked one day for Vince, he'll pay for it. That's, I mean, that's a pretty good thing. But in the same token, like I said, I mean, these guys are just trying to, you know, fight through the pain that they've put themselves through and all that. And it just, yeah, I mean, I don't know if a retirement plan is in the, I don't know. I mean, because there's so many guys, again, when you're working for these companies, you know, the indie companies, they're only making you, you know, a couple hundred bucks top.
Yeah, well, with the indie companies, I mean, it is what it is. You're not going to get that from that. But if you make it to the WWE, your lifestyle has now changed. And my thought on it last night when I was, like I said, sitting there thinking is you can't, like, if you're Balls Mahoney, you are a big enough star that you probably can't go be a cashier at ChopRite even because everybody's going to be walking up to you. And,
well, yeah. Well, Balls, the way he looks, they're just not hiring him.
Well, that too.
His forehead's fucked, and he just isn't out there. You know, there's no teeth in his mouth.
Yeah, I'm not saying they should be giving these guys, you know, $100,000 a year, but just like a regular pension of whatever it is, $1,200, $1,300 a month, whatever, but at least they can live on it. They can do something with it because hopefully they were smart enough with their money when they were making it to pay for their house and everything else. Now, if they didn't, that's their own fault. But, you know,
right.
I don't think $1,000, you know, and there has to be X amount of matches or time into the
company. That was my next question is how long do they have to work there? Because, again, you know, Balls really didn't work for the WWE for any stretch of time to actually get him any type of pension or anything like that. New Jack, not really at all. Like
when they acquired ECW, they should have to take that on. If this was something that was already in the works, they would have to take that on. That'd be a part of acquiring that company.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't fully agree with that because if they're guys that you would have never hired, but then this company tanks and you're like, hey, you know, I see some value in what you were doing. I'll take what is valuable from that. I'll give whoever ran that company X amount of money to take ownership of it. See, I mean, to take liability for everybody else's problems and the decisions they made over the years, that's a hard go. I don't know.
Well, that's a regular business, though, if because we said ShopRite before. If ShopRite was to go and buy out, I don't know, Pathmark or AMP, whichever one owns it, they would have to take on all those retirements that those people that Pathmark/AMP pays already. That would all be a part of acquiring the company. I just can't.
Yeah.
It bothers me to see these guys in this shape. Just because
well,
it really does seem like there's nowhere for them to go to a point. To a point.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, though, but if, like you're saying, ShopRite acquired Pathmark, and, yeah, they might have to continue pensions that were going on previously, I can tell you they could look across the roster of what Pathmark's got right now and cut the fucking weight. I mean, this guy could be, you know, a year from pension, 2 years from pension. They could be like, yeah, new regime, dude. We ain't tolerating that dumb shit.
Yeah, so they can absolutely do that.
That's kind of, I mean, with wrestling, it's not so much as, hey, I've been here 12 years steady. Like, no, you're on and off. You're here, you're there. You're wrestling, it's hard to gauge that. Because, again, how many matches? How many consistent months? How many, you know?
Yeah, so that all have to be worked out. But, you know, I guess it goes into, and I'm not a union person, but it goes into the whole union philosophy on that they, you know, you can't ask these guys to give their life to you to a point and then not reward them in any way after you're done with what you needed them to do, you know?
Right.
And that's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys. I mean, you know, look at Mick Foley, for instance.
Right.
If he didn't strike it big at the end of his career, he would have been in the same boat as all these guys.
Right, but you know what? That's a lot of what it comes down to. Not saying that everything Mick Foley was doing with it was indies or anything like that, but a lot of these guys put the majority of the beating on their bodies for little money on the indies, just trying to maybe get that eventual payday, or even just for the love of it. So, you know, some of like, say the guys like a Necro Butcher ended up in the WWE. I mean, he put the beating on himself through years of the indies. I mean, CM Punk did 10 years on the indies. If he didn't make this now, I mean, none of what he did for 10 years is worth anything. That's why it's a slippery slope, because, you know, guys could put a decade into the business and work harder than what you see on TV, but it doesn't pay forward. But now we're talking about the one guy with the money should shell out just because. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a lose-lose for the guy with the money, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with you. Something more should be done, because definitely it sucks to see these guys just left with shit. But, man.
It's one of the things they put in with the NFL guys. That's something that just came up with them. It wasn't talked about much or anything like that. But the NFL guys that were retired for a long time just got some kind of pension program going in. Because I believe if you were an NFL player before 1970, you had nothing. Even still today. And these guys, you know, beat up their body from 1961 through 1969, and they get nothing. And now they're, you know, they're having all these medical problems when they're hitting, I don't know, 60 years old, 70 years old, whatever it is, and they don't even have the benefits to pay any of these medical bills, and they're walking around on, you know, knees that would make most people probably cry just to walk from the bed to the bathroom in the morning, and they got to live
for
that because they don't have a medical plan, because let's face it, they had a good enough career in the NFL, but back then, I don't know what they were making, but it ain't anywhere near what they're making now, obviously. And you can't retire off of that, no matter what it is, unless you were a very, very smart investor. And again, let's face it, most of these guys are not. NFL players now make so much money that they don't have to be smart investors, but back then you did.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, though, because even I had heard Warren Sapp on Stern, and he more or less said, yeah, like, I'm broke. Like, he's like, well, I'm not broke. He's like, I'm making okay, decent money, you know, being a, you know, sports analyst and, like, a panel guy now. He's like, but all the money that I, you know, went through my NFL career, like, I fucked that up. And, I mean, what Warren Sapp was pretty substantial of a, you know, figure in sports or, you know, in football at least.
Oh, top 10 defensive tackle of all time probably and made money.
You definitely.
Know, top 15 pick. I think he won 12th. Top 15 pick and got two good paydays at minimum. Probably three good paydays, if I can remember correctly, especially with the Super Bowl there. And a good payday with the Raiders to end his career. And still talking about he went through all that money. And that's probably made $30 million over the course of his career. Now Uncle Sam takes half of that, so that's $15 million. But, I mean, that's still nothing to be able to go through, but these guys do because you're living a lifestyle. And you know,
so that's what I'm saying.
Like
a lot of times too, like, I mean, you hook them up for what they did, but if just because you're able to play football doesn't mean you're able to handle money for shit. I mean,
oh, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. I like Warren Sapp. He's one of my favorite players, but at the same time,
got
I'm not
the jersey in my closet.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's going to go and beat anybody in a mental test. Not one of the smart guys. And he's smart enough to be on TV to analyze,
sure.
But again, if I had a couple thousand dollars, I wouldn't ask him to invest it for me.
No. I mean, it's a lot of these guys are just not built for it. I mean, even some of the guys who are, you know, to go into that for a hot second, like, you know, your TOs, Chad Ochocincos. I mean, these guys, when they came into the league and for the majority of their careers, they were looked at the best receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And just their attitude alone, all the money in the world couldn't even buy them to be thankful for 2 seconds about what they were getting. And then it was just like, all right, well, fuck, that guy's pretty much unhirable. And it's insane. And Randy Moss, you know, for right now, he still has a team, and I'm hoping he pans out and he's maybe humbled himself. I hope he didn't catch a ball in preseason, but who knows? You know, I mean, we got a lot of other things going on. I hope he's able to fall into line and actually be a guy that isn't like the other guys without a team right now. But
and unfortunately, they find out too late. I think Chad Johnson, I think you're going to see a train wreck in the next 5 years with him, 5 to 10 years. I think he's just going to go downhill so fast it's going to be scary.
Yeah, well, headbutting his chick is a good start to that fucking downhill.
Yeah, and nobody's looking at him that they're announcing. I haven't heard any team even looking at him.
No. Yeah, T.O., I don't know what's going on with him. Is Plaxico anywhere? I mean, what's happening with him?
He's nowhere. I mean, you're going to you brought up Jose Canseco with the steroid stuff, but there's another one that made a boatload of money and didn't know how to handle it. And you're going to see, you know, Chad Johnson fighting boxing and these celebrity boxings and everything else they could possibly do for a buck. It's
yeah. Bad. Yeah. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. People blow their own, you know, stack, and then next thing you know, they're desperate and they start throwing other people under the bus, even though they ruined themselves. You know, I think, and you know, maybe, you know, history is maybe I've been lost in the history, and I'm not the biggest baseball buff, obviously, but I don't even stay current on it. But if I remember right, back in the day when they were the Bash Brothers, wasn't Jose the bigger home run hitter?
For the most part, yeah.
At that time,
he was.
Yeah,
absolutely. He was the bigger player because, let's face it, McGuire's a redhead looking. Mongoloid-looking guy, and Canseco, no homo, is a decent-looking, you know, dark-haired, tall, handsome guy. So Canseco was definitely the bigger star.
But without you wanting to bone him, I mean, I'm just saying, like, he was the bigger home run hitter at the time, right?
Yeah, well, they went back and forth year to year. Both of them with the steroids had some injury problems, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, 85, I think McGuire hit more, and then 86, 87, Canseco, and then 88, it was McGuire, 89 was definitely Canseco. So they went back and forth.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I you know, over their A's career together, they were probably within 20 home runs of each other if you looked it up.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was that, you know, that whatever, sex appeal or whatever you want to say, you know, a better guy on camera or whatever that actually got him the more recognition, but... I know he was a lot more talked about than McGuire for definitely the early going.
Absolutely. And plus he stole the bases and everything like that too, which McGuire didn't do. And but yeah, I think, like you said, not wanting to bone him, but I think in general, it's just the way of the world. I mean, the better looking person, if you've got two people, one's ugly as sin like McGuire is with pockmarks all over the side of his head.
Then you got baseball's Uncle Jesse, and are you going to do?
Right. Yeah, you know, you're going to go with baseball's Uncle Jesse every time. I mean, it's just the way it is, commercials, TV, all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I've been talking about the steroid thing for 2 weeks now, but, I mean, what's your thoughts on the whole thing and, you know, what I've been saying?
Well, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. That's
sure.
By far my favorite sport. And I'm a huge, huge Manny Ramirez fan, huge Barry Bonds fan. Those probably my two favorite players.
So you support steroids, is what you're saying?
I don't support steroids. But I fall under the same thing, like you said. If you got a guy that's going out there and producing against other people that are doing the same thing. Because let's face it, probably 70%, maybe 75% of baseball was doing steroids in 1996. Uh-huh. I mean, everybody, from the backup second baseman to the bullpen catcher that don't even get on the field, they were all doing it. I wouldn't be shocked if managers were doing it. I mean, everybody was doing steroids. It was just out there, and they were doing what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still the best player, you're still the best player.
They're not calling up the guys who weren't, you know, breaking records or winning titles. They're not even calling them.
Right. It's just, you know. To me, it's a part of baseball history. It's an unfortunate thing the way it all came out. The guy you had on there from the sports show, you know.
Yeah, Sports Den, yeah.
Sports Den, thank you. Like he was saying, you know, all this stuff happened, but they were playing against other players that were doing it. Now, the one thing he said that is true, Mark McGwire did do an interview with Andrew Steen behind him, but at the time, Andrew Steen was born in GNC.
Right.
So, you can't really fault the guy for something that you can walk into a mall and go and buy off the shelf.
Andrew Steen also doesn't make you bigger. It's a pre-workout. It's a complete hype thing. I was on Andrew Steen because I got it off of RVD site legally.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the funny story with that was I was doing this shit, and I would play basketball with it and stuff, and, dude, you're flying. It was on some crazy shit. And you could just, like, feel your heart beating under your skin. And, you know, it just hyped you up. It was like, you know, I mean, I guess if you drank a shitload of energy drinks or, you know, whatever you did. Or, you know, some of these pre-workout things now, they might not be Andrew Steen, but I have a few of them that'll fucking blow your mind if you're not ready for them.
That Jack 3D or whatever it is.
Well, like a Nitro.
Yes,
Super Pump's pretty good. C4 is fucking crazy. And then if you want to go past that, the Nitro NCG, that shit'll fucking blast you. But like those type of things, kind of the same thing. But it was a sublingual. You put a pill under your tongue, it melted, and then you were just like balls fucking out. So
yeah.
I was doing that, and I was working out in the room a little bit. And I took this shit, and I worked out. I started working out for, like, 15 minutes. And the girl had a crazy-ass asthma attack, and, like, her arms started going numb and shit.
Right.
And it was, like, some kind of, like, I guess, combination, like, asthma attack and maybe, like, a migraine thing coming on. So that was what the numbness was going on. So it was, like, and we had to call an ambulance. So she called an ambulance. Now, I'm fucking flying. And I'm sitting in the front seat of this ambulance. It's pouring raining. And they're flying up the parkway, and the fucking cars are just, like, parting as we're fucking plowing up the parkway. And I'm just, like, fucking, I'm just skied up on this fucking Andro. I'm just, it was one of the craziest things ever, because I'm just, like, I'm fucking nutty in the front seat of an ambulance, and they got the lights and shit going.
You take some of that stuff, and it is almost like a street drug.
Definitely. I definitely didn't feel like this should be legal. I was like, well, if they only knew how I felt right now. Oh, man.
Yeah. But again, at the time, it was legal to buy a GNC, so you can't fault the guy for having it in his locker. Because I've heard that many times, and that's what I always go back to. That's like, you know, if you could buy it, you can't fault the guy, and it's not, you know, it's not like you can go buy beer and the guy's drunk at a fucking game. That's a different story. I'm not saying that. But if you can go buy it and it's a supplement, supposed supplement, you know, same thing with Stacker and same thing with Red Bull. Now, look, Dustin Pedroia from the Red Sox, I seen an interview with him where the doctors told him that the 3 16-ounce cans of Red Bull he would down right before the start of a game was very unhealthy for him.
Right.
I mean, that's like 48 ounces of Red Bull or whatever the math is on that. Right before a game, he would just pop three of them and down them. Look, you're going to get the same feeling you're going to get. You're going to be flying.
Yeah.
And you can still buy it in the store. You can go into any store and buy Red Bull.
Yeah.
But is it a stimulant? Yeah, probably. Does it make him have an edge? Yeah, probably. If he's on that and there's another guy playing that's not taking anything but sipping some water in between innings – yeah, Pedroia's probably got a little bit of an edge on him. But you can't say he's cheating.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
and I wouldn't even say that that guy that's flying, I wouldn't say that his concentration is, as you know, any better.
Right.
He might be moving faster, but I don't know about his concentration, because your mind is going like the mile a minute. The other guy's just sitting there like waiting for the ball. So, it comes down to, like when Nick said, you still have to hit a baseball.
And I don't think any – I honestly don't think a lot of these guys – like I said, I think 70 to 75% of baseball players were on some sort of performance-enhancing drug. I think the number of people actually taking the early 1980s steroids that fucked your head up and fucked your mind up, like Lyle Zayo stuff, was probably less than 10%. I think that 60% in the middle were taking the designer stuff that you can get in the stores and everything else that were out during the 90s.
Right. But I mean, you could look at Ken Griffey, you could look at Bonds, you could look at McGuire. I mean, you could look at these guys back then that were a lot smaller back then, but they could hit the shit out of a baseball. Now, of course, the home runs will double or so when they get on the shit, but they were also one of the, some of the best hitters in the game, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely. Bonds, even pre. Look, when I used to hang out in town and play wiffle ball, and before Bonds got big, I wanted to be Bonds because he was that good.
Yeah. Bonilla was the crusher, and Bonds was still a fantastic hitter, right? I mean.
Yeah, but and he hit home runs and everything like that. He just didn't hit 73 of them, and every one of them 500 feet, and that's only when he sees one pitch a game, he's still hitting that many.
Sure.
I mean, the things that Bonds did when he was all jacked up were just incredible. I mean, that's stuff we'll never see again. Where he's walking 200 and something times and still hitting 70 home runs. It's just it was just ridiculous. Whatever he was like one for every 8 at bats. He was hitting a home run, which is just, I mean, that's better than video game numbers.
Right. Oh, definitely. I want to go through these football picks and stuff. I figure what I want to do first is I want to share this little song with everybody. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is the Adam Carolla podcast. And he does his normal podcast. He has on many guests. He does his riffing. He has a sound guy. He has a news girl. He has the whole thing. I really enjoy his podcast. I like Stern First. I'd say probably second is the Monday Morning Podcast with Bill Burr. Bill Burr is my favorite comedian, straight up. He only does one a week. Adam Carolla just goes hard all week, and he does a good thing. He also does Home Improvement Show, a Home Improvement podcast where he takes calls and like, hey, I got this shit in the bathroom. My fucking studs are from here to here, and how do I fix this, or how do I redo this tile or something? He knows tons about that type of stuff. And he does another one about cars and shit. I'm not that into cars, but the other ones are really entertaining to me. So he's got his one assistant, he nicknamed the Porcelain Punisher because the guy fucks a toilet up. So he calls him Matt the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier. They had one of the guys that do sound stuff for him make a song for him. Make more or less a theme song for the Porcelain Punisher. And here's this song. I thought it was hilarious, so I figured I'd just share it with everybody because every time I hear it, I fucking crack up. So check this out, and then we'll do the football thing.
Someone's in the bathroom. Can only be one man. He's the one who's always in there. Demolishing the can. Pants around his ankles. Thinking of the place. Buys his TP at Costco.
Ah, the great Dick Banks, everybody.
Might be his finest work.
It's up there.
Yeah, that's great stuff. You know, in their shitting to build this city. I mean, I don't know what else you could do. So, yeah, I think Stan went to get a drink, and then when he gets back with his drink, well, you know, we'll do this football thing. Now, I mean, last night, now it goes straight across the board. I also got picks from my dude Ali, who's the most inconsistent person to plan something and then also do it. So I forced picks out of him last night on the phone, and he said he was going to call in today, but he's Ali. For all of you that don't know Ali, he's very inconsistent. That's why I made sure I got the picks from him last night. So I'll add Ali's picks, and then Stan will go over his picks that I also have. Right across the board, right across – just crack my voice a little more. Right across the board, I'll just, you know, spoiler alert, everybody lost with the Giants. The Giants were favored by 3.5 points at home, and I said on the show last night, I would have picked Dallas. My impulse was Dallas, and then I was like, no, you know what? If it was 5.5, 7.5, I'd pick Dallas. But I'm going to give the Giants this just to go out and win the game type thing. And Dallas beat the shit out of them for pretty much the whole game and ended up winning it. I mean, it wasn't a complete blowout, but they had pretty secure control of the game. It ended up 24-17 Dallas. Obviously, you're not covering the 3.5 spread if you don't win the fucking game. So, you know, not really blown away, surprised by it, but yeah, obviously I picked wrong. So did Nick, so did Ali, and so did Stan. It's what happens. What can you do? So yeah, what did the Giants take last night?
Big L.
Oh, they did. What was it?
Big L.
Okay, that's. I just wanted to make sure for all the Giants fans out there. Oh. So are you there? Are you there yet, Stan? Where did you go to get a drink? The store? Did you go to the fridge or the store?
I'm back.
There you go. All right. So I was just going over the, you know, the fact that the Giants just took a
big L.
But other than that, you know, well, we all picked the Giants across the board, and you know, I mean, I think it was. Ever since they started this, it was like they started, which I didn't even know that they were doing this on purpose or never really caught on to the trend, but they were making sure that the Super Bowl winner hosted the opener, and I think they were 8-0 from the stats. Like, they would start out the season. If they won the Super Bowl, they'd host the opening game, and they were 8-0 until the Giants dropped one to the Dallas Cowboys. So.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game because I was working last night, but I did listen to 90% of it on the radio.
Right.
And it looked like their big superstar Victor Cruz really hurt them with some drop passes. And from that, and then I was listening to the Giants broadcast, so it was a little partial, but apparently the replacement refs are not calling any type of holding or any type of pass interference in the secondary. Which, if that's going to be a continuing trend, your team, my team, and Baltimore is going to wind up being almost impossible to score against.
Right. Definitely. I mean, I don't know, man. Obviously, this is going to be a continuing trend. I mean, they don't stop talking about the refs when the real refs are there. So now the backup refs are like, they don't know what they're doing. Like, I know they don't, and they definitely missed a lot of calls preseason and everything else, but is it going to be overhyped? Is it going to be like, they got the substitutes? I mean, people, fans always look for the refs, whether it's basketball, football, I mean, baseball. Oh, that was a strike. No, fuck that. If it was, you know, I don't know. I have a weird feeling like this is going to be overhyped for as long as it happens, because as soon as the regular refs in, they're going to start complaining about calls from the regular refs. Like, they're probably mad from that dispute. It's fucking blowing calls. It's a never-ending sports argument, but I mean, the game's going to be played. Guys are going to adjust. If the refs are playing loose, play loose. If the refs are playing tight, play tight. I mean, it's just what you got to do as players. I mean, it's, you know, so you show up at fucking work and your boss is pissed off. You're like, oh, I'll stay away from that guy today. Or you get in his ass and you get fired. It's just kind of part of the business that they work in. So I'm only so big on the ref thing. Now, I mean, if it's one crucial play that completely changes the game, yeah, let's talk about it. But, I mean, you see people screaming about shit in the first quarter in every game. And it's like, come on, man. You there?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I apologize. The ref thing, I mean, it's going to be magnified because of these replacement refs and everything like that. But you're absolutely right. Whatever they're calling is how you have to play the game. If that's the case, that they're not going to be calling, certain things or certain types of calls, then players are going to adjust to it. But if they're not calling defensive pass interference, well, the receiver is going to have to adjust to that also and start playing more physical.
Sure.
And, you know, I kind of agree with it, but I'm a defensive guy. I mean, I think some of the calls are just ridiculous, and it's all just to put points up on the board.
Right.
You know, with the regular referees, I mean, there's some where it's just like, you know, guy gets an elbow into him as he's running, pumping his arms, and all of a sudden it's pass interference. I mean, I think they got a little ridiculous there. I think any time that you've seen a team 3rd and 15 and they just threw it deep hoping for a pass interference, well, that's not really in the whole realm of the sport as it was, and they were getting those calls a lot.
Right.
So I kind of like that they're letting them play a little bit. But at the same time, so, you know, again, you sit and you think about it, it's not as easy as it looks to be an NFL referee.
Of course.
There's a lot of little stupid rules there.
And I would argue, too, yeah, there is. But I would argue, too, if the fans are up in arms and nothing is being called and these guys come back, everything's going to be called. Just
yeah, probably.
Because they have to be the superheroes to come back and flip the tables. And, man, I hate like that. Those games that, like, every other play is a penalty. It's just like, oh, fuck, can we get some fucking football here? Like, Jesus Christ. You start looking at the players, and you start looking at the refs and back at the players, and you're like, what? Can somebody stop this from happening? I just want, like a series without a fucking penalty. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, when it's not fluid, it's just terrible to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely terrible to watch.
Yeah.
Seemed to me there was a lot of false start calls, though, like a ton of false start stuff. And, again, I wasn't watching on TV. Maybe that was going into the whole it always seemed to me when Peyton Manning was on Indianapolis that what I learned in football and what I learned watching football, every time the lineman would stand up after they were in the set position, that'd be a false start. But yet, all of a sudden, they didn't call it because Peyton Manning would start yelling things.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the stuff that was getting called or what, but I just never understood that. Like, I always learned once you were in set, in the set position, that was it. You can't just, like, stand up and go, oh, we're going to stop now and we're going to reset. I mean, so I don't know if that's what the calls were. Like I said, I wasn't watching it, and honestly, I don't watch very much preseason. And the little bit I did of the Steelers, there were not many false start calls called during that.
Right.
But I just, like I said, listen on the radio, it seemed like they were calling false starts. It seemed like there was like 10, 15 of them last night.
Possible. But, I mean, obviously penalties on the radio, I don't know what more the radio can do, you know, to not amplify it, because they don't have shit to talk about the second a penalty happens. So
yeah,
it probably does magnify quite a bit. I don't know. I don't have that much complaints referee-wise yet, but I have heard quite a bit of stir about it. But it is what it is. remember years ago when they were talking about replacement players, for Christ's sakes. I think we're not that bad off right now. So, go ahead.
No, I don't know where they got these guys because they're not college guys that came up. I mean, are these just like regular high school guys? Like, I'm a little confused on where they came from.
I heard there's a couple of these guys from the lingerie league, straight up. The lingerie women's football league.
Right.
And I don't know where that decision came across, but that's something else. So anyway, I can't say that I really paid full attention to this game last night either, because I was doing my show and then I was fucking irate because they cut me off and whatever the fuck else. So, I'm not a Dallas fan. Dallas is my most hated football team, and the Giants, I'm not a very happy guy with the Giants after, you know, a couple plays put them and allowed them to win the Super Bowl. And of course, like I said, not taken away from them. They won it, but it was, you know, we beat ourselves. So, I was just like, whatever. I'd rather the Giants win because, first off, I picked them. Second off, I hate the Cowboys, but wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys win, and that's what happened. So, anyway. All right, well, first game, Washington at New Orleans. New Orleans is favored by 9.5. You went with Washington, as did I, and actually, out of the four of us, the only one that went with New Orleans is Ali. So, what's your thoughts on that game?
The points are high for opening week. Also, with New Orleans losing their coach, their middle linebacker, their defensive coordinator, and I think two ball boys are suspended also. I think that Washington can keep it close. I do think New Orleans will win because I think they're a better team overall.
Sure.
The one thing that, and you don't watch too much college, but I do, the one thing that I'm a little worried about with RG3 is Baylor came out and beat up on SMU, which isn't a great college program or nothing like that, but the offense was just ridiculous. So I started to wonder if it was a little bit of a system quarterback and how he's going to pan out in the NFL. Obviously, you're not going to be able to tell until he plays a couple games and everything like that. But when Baylor came out with a brand-new quarterback and I think five brand-new players on, you know, brand-new starters on offense and went up and you know, put up 35 first-half points, it started making me wonder if it really was RG3 or if it, you know, was just the offense that they're running. So that's
right.
Going to be interesting to see. I don't know that you're going to see that week one, obviously, but that's going to be interesting to watch over this season, next season, you know, if he's going to wind up panning out or you know, just a product of
I think
a great college system.
Yeah, again, and you know more about the college system and the things that have actually gone on game-wise, but just from, like, the clips I've seen and the talk I've heard, this guy is the truth. And he's going to be another one of those two-watch guys. And I think, you know, with his receiving core and the stuff he's got there, they're going to start putting up points. Are they going to start beating the Saints week one? I don't think so. But I think it's going to be surprisingly close. I think they're going to make everyone in their division not happy. Whether they beat everybody every game, no, but I think they're going to be pretty competitive with your Dallas and your Giants and your Eagles. And that division is always scrappy, whether they had, I'm trying to think of a Washington quarterback. Oh, man. That's way back. I'm thinking that the more recent dude, Jesus.
Are you sure?
Black dude.
Jason Campbell.
Jason Campbell. Whether it was Jason Campbell or whether it was a guy, the RG3, that is considered to be one of the futures of the NFL, Washington was still extremely scrappy with their division guys. That division, like I said, and that's why I didn't know where to go with week one, Dallas Giants, only game on TV, big stage, let's go. Dallas could be the worst team in the league. and they play one of their division rivals, which is their whole division. It's funny because when you say division rival, the NFC East are all rivals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen Dallas fans that just hate the Redskins more than any other team. I've seen Eagle fans that hate the Giants more than any other team. I've seen, you know, you could take any one of those combinations and someone was butthurt from one of those other teams in that division, and it's anybody's game because they all play really scrappy ball. Very rarely do you see a clear blowout by one team. And it's weird because if you do, the other game that they play that season, it's going to be down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's anybody's ball game when it comes down to those guys. So that's what I'm thinking. And especially with this guy being such a to-be-watched guy, I think you got some big stuff to watch out for with this guy. And, you know, you dominate your division. That's a lot of wins, and you're starting to look at playoffs. So,
I hope so. I mean, I hope he does well. I think this week they're going to stay competitive, and then either it's going to go one of two ways. I think either he's not going to be able to get the job done in crunch time because it is a lot different in the NFL. Plus, again,
yes,
when you're in a system, you know, when you're playing at Baylor last year, which had 10 wins in college, and I'm not 100% certain, but I don't think there was a win out of those 10 wins that was by less than 7 points, so it's not like he came back and beat teams, you know what I mean? So
I just put points up, huh?
Yeah, they just put points up last year. They just,
wow,
you know, rolled over people, and you know, when you're up by 35 to go out there and make a ridiculous play is a lot different than when you're trailing by 3 and you need to go get in field goal range or score a touchdown to win. So
right,
just interested to see how that's all going to be handled. I think tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but Sunday, you're going to see.
I wish it was tomorrow. I'm
game.
Fucking so hyped.
Yeah, me too. I think you're going to see those two teams play close, and then either one of two things happen. Either Drew Brees take apart that Washington defense to either put up the score that puts them up by a touchdown, leaving way too little time for Washington, or Washington having a chance with, you know, 2.5-3 minutes, which
right,
you can score in the NFL on, but him just coming up short, not doing anything wrong, not throwing a pick, just coming up short just because not being used to the situation, being a rookie.
Yeah,
being,
it's a very new team,
you know,
and all that stuff. Before I go to the next game, I forgot to use the New York Giants sound drop for them losing this fucking game. I got to add the Artie sound drop, and I haven't used it since last season. So
for the New York football cock-sucking fucker, fuck me in the ass Giants.
There we go. the next game is New England at Tennessee, with New England favored by 6.5 points. Again, everybody's got New England but Ali. And the funny thing about Ali is almost everything, but I'm reading these picks off to him last night, and I'm like, all right, we got – and I explained the whole point thing to him beforehand because he's not really like a betting dude or anything like that. But I'm like, all right, you know, we got Washington at New Orleans and New Orleans, and he's like, New Orleans. And I'm like, dude, all right, they're favored by 85.5 points. Who do you got? He's like, fuck you talking about? Like, I'm like, dog, can you just wait till I tell you the points? Because it could be crazy. He's like, I don't know, man. Drew Brees is a beast. I'm like, well, all right, though, but hold on. And so anyway, everybody's got New England except for Ali. I mean, we're talking 6.5 points. I honestly think Tom Brady, he's good for beating Tennessee week one and just continuing to show everybody he's Tom Brady and win by a touchdown. I mean, I think that's a pretty safe bet. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. That line doesn't make a ton of sense to me, just because is Washington really worse than – I know they're not playing in this game, but are they really 3 points worse than Tennessee?
Washington?
Yes. And the reason I say that is if Washington is getting how many points?
Well, shit, Washington is getting 9.5.
Right, against New Orleans, which is about the same offense as New England. Why is Tennessee only getting 6.5? That's the part I don't understand. I think that Washington's a better team than Tennessee, and yet
New Orleans,
more points.
I mean, New Orleans is at home, you know.
And Tennessee is on the road at home.
No, Tennessee's
yeah,
at home.
It. Right, and Tennessee's at home. I get that, but I still think it's a very similar game, and I don't understand where there's a 3-point difference.
So. Yeah, yeah. No, I hear that. And, I mean, that's just my thing on the game. Tom Brady's just one of those dudes. He's a terrorist as far as how consistent he is. He's pretty fucking consistent. He has his off games. There's other parts of the team that are going to fail. And, you know, there's times that, you know, the other team is going to get at him. And that might be, you know, the loss there. But Brady's one of those guys. I just don't think he's going to just crumble to Tennessee week one. And I'd say he's definitely going to put up that. And Belichick's a fucking animal. He's going to try to murder every team they play. So.
If I remember correctly, doesn't New England normally come out, like, super ridiculous week one every year?
Usually. I mean, usually they come out on fire, and then it's like, who's going to stop them? Who's going to put up a challenge on them? And, yeah. Yeah, they are definitely one of those type of teams.
I can see that being one of the blowouts of the week.
Could be. And it's like, oh, they said 6.5, these crazy fucks. Look at this. It's fucking 35 points. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? So then you got Miami at Houston. It's a big spread, I think. Yeah, I think this is the biggest spread of the week. And you got Houston is favored by 10.5 points. But everybody right across the board, even Ali has Houston. Because I don't know why they hosted Hard Knocks there, other than maybe the other teams don't want people getting the insight on what they're doing. And Miami, what are they doing? I don't even know.
Miami, I can't name 5 players on that team anymore.
I'm sure
terrible. They're just absolutely terrible. And Houston's a very, very good team. Very under the radar team, but very, very good. I'm losing track of the guy's name. He coached Dallas, and he's now their defensive coordinator in Houston. He just got fired from Dallas. What was his name? The guy before Jason Garrett. Anyway, the defensive coordinator came over from Dallas. He was the head coach there. And really turned it around, really doing a good job with their defense. And they're all healthy. They haven't been healthy all last season. They weren't healthy, and they were still beating teams. So I can't see that game not being a blowout. Between New England, seeing who puts up more points.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, it was weird because I always saw that team defined by Mario. And when last year they became one of the top teams in the AFC and Mario was out and they didn't lose any steam, if anything, they gained steam. I was like, this is awkward. I mean, I don't even know how to feel about this. And wow, look at them. And then come between seasons, they let him go. He's in Buffalo now.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, they straight up didn't miss him, and they just moved on, and that was that. And, I mean, they did a lot of bouncing between quarterbacks and still stayed decent and still continued to build their team up, and now they've become a pretty reputable team. You know, sorry, Tennessee, but, I don't know. I mean, I think they have a lot there. They have one of the best running backs in the league, and – yeah, they're going to put points up on the Miami.
And Miami's not a good football team this year.
No. It's like, oh, we're going to show you Hard Knocks, just show you how hard it is for teams that suck balls and what not to do next year. Like, oh, Jesus.
I think Houston's going to be one of those teams that's going to be good for a while, and you're just seeing them, you know, start to peak now. Last year, this year, and it just doesn't sound right to say you know, give me your top three AFC teams and
I'd be naming Houston, but
yeah, it just doesn't roll off the tongue right. But I think they're going to be in that top three, top four.
I've definitely seen several Super Bowl predictions as far as, like, the analysts, like ESPN and stuff like that. Houston is in a few of these guys' picks. New England is in a lot of these guys' picks. And on the NFC side, you see a lot of Green Bay. You see a lot of, you know, the possible Giants return and like, that type of stuff. But, I mean, I think one guy picked our guys to lose to Houston in the Super Bowl. And I'm like, all right, well, Jesus Christ. All right, but I mean, they definitely have something to put up. They definitely have a name behind them. They have a lot to prove, honestly, because when everybody looks at you as one of those top teams, and for years you were just the Houston Texans, then yeah, by all means, it's either going to be a really big year or a really upsetting year for them, because the ball's in their hand, so to speak, because everyone expects it, including me.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the next game we got is the Atlanta Falcons at the Kansas City Chiefs. And Atlanta's only favored by 1.5. I got Atlanta. Nick's got KC. You and Ali also have Atlanta. How do you feel?
Well, Kansas City, I heard you talking with Nick last night. Kansas City is a very tough place to go into for whatever reason. A lot of teams do struggle going into there, so I don't think this is – I think when you look at it, you go, oh, Atlanta's going to run away with it. I don't think they're going to run away with it. I think they are just going to outlast them. I think it's going to be a lot closer game than you think, and I think that's why the spread is only one. But I do think Atlanta has a little bit more firepower than them. And can come away with the win early. Although Kansas City was getting hot towards the end of last season, I just think Atlanta has a little bit too much, and I think they have a little bit more of the home run threat. So if they can turn around and get two or three big plays out of some of those Roddy White or a big run out of Turner or something like that, I think that's what's going to put them ahead. And I think you're going to see a close game, though, and an ugly game, one of them, you know, 14-10 type games.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, personally, my thoughts is I just think Atlanta's a better team than they looked like last year. And, you know, KC's an improved team. They might step back into the realms of being a contender, or maybe they just had a good run. Not really sure. They're one of those hard-to-call teams for me. But, I mean, they'll prove themselves, you know, win, lose, or draw this season. But I think Atlanta's a better team than they put themselves out there through a lot of stretches of last season. So that's just kind of why I'm going with Atlanta. But it is only 1.5, so we're just talking kind of who's going to win.
I think Atlanta pulls off the win. I do think Atlanta pulls off the win. I think just in case he's a little better than expected at home.
Sure. Next game we got is the Indianapolis, the new-look Indianapolis Lucky Colts, and the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, who is shaping up to now be more of an offensive than a defensive team, favored by 9.5 points, which, like I said last night, is a weird look for me to look at them as more of an offensive team, because that was just not what you – when you expected Chicago, you were like, oh, well, okay, their defense, and now it's kind of fading, and you're talking a little bit more about their offense these days. And like I said, they're favored by 9.5. Everybody's got Chicago right across the board. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Chicago defense is getting older, but I think they got one more run in them. I think they're going to be a surprise team. Well, I don't know if it's a surprise or how many people are saying they're going to be good or what, but I think they're going to be a very formidable team this season. I think they're going to wind up being, 10-6, 11-5, and I think Cutler's got some options now. Forte's very, very good. He got paid, and I think that they're going to you know, a two touchdown win here isn't hard to see.
Yeah. All right. Jacksonville at Minnesota. This is an interesting one to me a little bit. Minnesota's favored by 4.5 points. Me and Nick got Jacksonville, and you and Ali have Minnesota. I personally, here's my thoughts, is that Maurice Jones-Drew is auditioning right now. This guy is going to put his ass on the line to either get the money that he didn't get from this team or from another team. And my personal prediction is he's going to be the top back in this league this year. I think he will put up more numbers than everybody else in this league at the running back position. That's my prediction. And I whether he'll be there next year, I don't know, you know, contract wise what they're gonna do, whatever the case, but I think Jones-Drew is going to put his ass out there. Now, Adrian Peterson, who I've always been a fan of, this is a guy that they put stipulations on in the preseason that if you hurt this guy or you hit him too hard, they'll cut you from the team. So do I think that even though he said that he's a reborn back, that he wait till you see what I do this year? When you have to tell your own teammates, if you hit me too hard, you're going to end up cut. I don't feel that confident about AP this year, even though I'm sure he's going to do some pretty impressive stuff, but nobody's getting cut from another team if he gets hit too hard. So I'm not so sure about that, and I'm not so sure about Minnesota. But go ahead, man.
I think that played into – he had an injury that was supposed to take a year to heal, and he's doing it in, you know, 9.5 months, and I think that's where the stipulations came in, is they just didn't want to beat him up in practice for no reason. I think this game is going to be rather boring to a point, just because I think that you're going to see those two offenses run a lot and just run up the middle a lot, and it's going to be very back and forth. I just think Minnesota's not a good team. Jacksonville's definitely not a good team. I just think Minnesota's just a little bit better for whatever reason. You know, Jacksonville doesn't have any other weapons besides Maurice Jones-Drew. At least Percy Harvin can do something offensively. And I think defensively, that, you know, you got Jared Allen and all, and I think, you know, Minnesota's defense is a little better than Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a pretty terrible team.
Yeah, for the most part. But I think that that back right there is going to be the game changer. You know, and maybe not making the playoffs or anything like that, but definitely changing the way that, you know, people have to defend against them and winning a couple games against guys like I said, I think the Vikings. But, you know, just my pick. Let me see. All right, next game is St. Louis at Detroit. And fucking Detroit is favored by 9.5 points, and everybody but you picked Detroit. Why do you think St. Louis can do that?
I think Bradford is very, 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 very good, and I think that he was hurt early last season. I think he was actually hurt coming out of college. In his last game with Oklahoma, he separated his shoulder and tore stuff in there real bad. He came out and they, you know, said he was good to go. When I guess when you're 21, 22, you can do stuff like that. And I think he put up good numbers when he played. He was already hurt. I think he's going to come out there, and Detroit has a very good front four. If they can give him a couple seconds, I think he'll put points up, and I think that's going to turn into one of those crazy shootouts that's going to wind up being 44-42, 44-40, something like that, and that St. Louis will be able to hang tough. I just don't like Detroit's defense enough with Sam Bradford on the other side of the field.
All right. I mean, you know, it's their own, man. Hey, all right. I hear you. I mean, that's cool. I mean, you're talking even winning the game, and Detroit favored by 9.5. Which, man, all right. Cool. Man, maybe St. Louis could go down there to Hardcore Pawn over in Detroit after the game and buy a pawn Super Bowl ring or something. You know? Ain't going to be from a Detroit player, but I'm saying.
I'm not saying St. Louis is a Super Bowl contender. I just...
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying Hardcore Pawn is filmed in Detroit, and they can go
right
over and, you know, buy someone's pawn Super Bowl ring. That's all.
Okay. yeah, I just... Like I said, I think that... I think St. Louis will be able to put some points up. I think that Steven Jackson still has a little bit left in the tank. I think it's gonna be just an offensive back and forth there that keeps them within, you know, within that big spread.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, you can give the quarterback credit. You can give the, you know, the aged wide receiver that, you know, a beast, you know, what it is, credit. But if that offensive line don't hold people from hitting that quarterback, then the game's over.
Absolutely.
You know, Detroit's going to put up enough points, I think. And I don't know, man.
Yeah,
you just got to keep the defense off that quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's, and that's like I said at the beginning, if they can give them a couple seconds back there to make throws, I think they'll be all right.
All right, fair enough. Oh, man, I'm sounding like Nick now. fair enough, he says, after everybody's point. Philadelphia at Cleveland, Philly's favored by 8.5, and everybody's got Philly but you.
Where's that game at?
Cleveland.
I just don't. I just couldn't take Michael Vick going into the dog pound. I had to go with the dog pound over Michael Vick.
touche.
That's the whole basis of my pick right there. It's just when I seen it was in Cleveland, I said, you know, I just can't root for Michael Vick to go into the dog pound.
I never root for Michael Vick. I can't stop liking pictures. I got all these motherfuckers tagging me in pictures of Michael Vick all fucking bandaged up with swimmies on and shit, like he's about to go in the pool and he's two, and standing in front of a barn. Like, I just can't do it. And like, I don't know, man. I just hate Michael Vick. Like, I just, I can't deny his talent, but I can hate him with every inch of my being. I have no problem with doing that. But no, I think Philly's gonna hurt Cleveland. Other than that, but so yeah, but touche on your reasoning. Much love, man. I hope you're right. I would take that loss proudly. I would take that loss, but I would like Cleveland to actually win the game if I'm gonna take that loss. That's all.
Right.
So that way Vic is actually sad going home from the dog pound instead of fucking with a bag of money and shit.
Right.
Yeah, his yard. Buffalo at the New York Jesus Jets, with the Jets favored by 3.5 points. Everybody's got the fucking Buffalo Bills but you. This seems like a trend. This is crazy. Why? You are way too close to that fucking stadium to be buying this bullshit.
No,
What's up?
I think that I think the Jets are just a little better than what they showed in preseason. I think Buffalo's not, they're getting better, but that Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a good quarterback. I think the defense is going to win the game for the Jets. And, I mean, the defense, all of a sudden they're not talking about the Jets being a great defense, even though the last 2 years that's all you heard. And I didn't know Mark Sanchez played defense, because somehow him being bad turns into their defense not being as good as everybody had them being the last 2 years. I think Rex Ryan will come out, and I just see him shutting down Buffalo's offense and putting up enough points off of turnovers, maybe not scoring on turnovers, but getting the ball on Buffalo's side of the field enough that Sanchez and Tebow will fall into a touchdown or two to win.
Well, but the train wreck that team will be this year, like no maybes. fucking, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think fucking by the end of the fucking game,
Jesus,
will be called upon and Tebow will be put in the game? I mean, I mean, week one is a stretch to say that they're going to jump that quick. But people, I'm telling you, one pick and that fucking stadium is going to erupt in fucking Tebow. So, I mean, dude, when you pay that guy, you pay your first-string quarterback that amount of money, and then you bring in another first-string quarterback. And I'm not,
yeah.
Believe me, I'm not a huge Tebow supporter, but he's being treated at this current state as a first-string quarterback. So when fucking Sanchez throws his Sanchez fucking balls into the other team's hands, there's no way that a high-paid quarterback isn't going to get booed out of the game until they put Tebow in, which Tebow ain't going to immediately make miracles, even though he thinks he can, and the fans think he can. But are we talking game one? When does this thing actually start to erupt?
I think it's going to take a couple games, I would hope. I think you might hear the fans chanting Tebow early, but I think you're gonna Sanchez gets 6 games at least before they
go on. Rex Ryan's just gonna sit on and go, all right, then Tim, come over here, take a knee.
Well, I think you'll have the Tebow package in with the Wildcat, or I don't know what you really want to call the Tebow thing. It's not really a Wildcat because again, he is a quarterback. But I think you're gonna get the Tebow package. Probably 2-3 series or 2-3 major roles in week one, and you'll start to see more and more. If it's coming more and more, that's when you know that hook's coming for Sanchez.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's such a touchy situation. I think that was like such a stupid idea. We're just going to bring a couple starting quarterbacks and everything will work out because we have a lot of them. Like, are you?
Santonio Holmes ain't making it any better for him. He just came out, I guess, this morning and then said that he was sitting next to Sanchez when Tebow was signed, and his answer was, wow, I can't believe this just happened.
That's awesome. Oh, it's
and
bound to
tell
happen.
The media that just doesn't make any sense. So,
strap in, buddies. It's going to be a long season.
Oh, it's
so anyway. The next game is everybody's calling game of the week, not just me because I'm a fucking mark for my guys, is you got my
San Francisco
49ers going into Green Bay. Like I said last night, man, if it's not our rematch against the Giants, this is our toughest game of the season, and we're starting the season with that. Green Bay is favored by 5.5 at home, which honestly is quite a credit to our team that we're only getting 5.5 points because at Green Bay is a bitch. Aaron Rodgers is one of, if not the best quarterback in football right now. I don't know, man. I think week one is a motherfucker to go into Green Bay. Holy shit, we have a fucking stacked deck. But we have quite a beastly fucking team. Our defense ain't fucking around. And, again, you can't speak for preseason, but if we are able to pick up what we did last year, problem is week one. We don't have, like, an adjustment period. We don't get to play within our division, play the Rams or the motherfucking, you know. We don't get to play Arizona. We don't get to play the Seahawks. We got to jump right into the fucking Green Bay Packers. Kind of rough. But I got confidence, and I'm going in, and of course I got my guys. But everybody across the board got my guys, and maybe somebody who's not even a fan of my guys can tell me why. What's up, man?
Well, again, I think 5.5 is a testament to a point, but also kind of high in the fact that San Francisco, for the most part last year, really showed what they're about now. They're a good team, and they play close games. They definitely play close games, and I just think that you're going to get a field goal game either way. I don't
David Ager
being
son.
A blowout. Yeah, I don't see this being a blowout in any way.
Missing them.
I think San Francisco's defense can slow up Green Bay enough. I think their offense can play ball control enough because that's what Harbaugh likes to do. And five and a half just seems like a lot of points to me. And that is the number two game I'm going to be watching on Sunday. You know, I'm really interested in that game over all the other games.
There's only like three games on, I think. So you got like – I think San Francisco, Green Bay, even if you had like the whole package, I think you're talking San Francisco, Green Bay, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Seattle, Arizona. Like,
right,
oh, wow.
I'll flip on the Tampa Bay game just because I do
sure
like to
will.
Keep an eye on them. I'll flip on that a little bit. And but I'll mostly be watching the Green Bay game. Until the 8 o'clock game, that's the game I obviously want to watch the most. But this is definitely number two. I'll be a little bit interested in that Jets-Buffalo game just to see the train wreck effect of the Jets. And
that's still early, John, though.
No, I know. I'm just going over the games all day long that I care about. The Green Bay 49ers game should be a very, very good game, should be close, and you know, I'd like the 5.5 points. I think you got to take 5.5 points there.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. So everybody, right across the board.
San Francisco.
You're damn right. I'm going to get my 8.5-foot flag that I'm going to put next to my door probably by week two. I'll say by week two. I have that. It's about a money thing. So then the next game we got, and man, I got to get another question in here on that one. Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Bucks, your second team there. For those who don't know, Stan is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, diehard. And then secondly, if you were to pick a second team, he would be a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. And obviously good friend of the show and last night's guest, Nick Two Scoops Russell, is a diehard Tampa Bay Bucks Kool-Aid drinker. The Carolina Panthers are favored by 2.5 points, and everybody but Nick picked Carolina, even Stan. Now, what's your feelings on this game, and what's your just tell me that first. Go ahead.
Oh, well, first, the Buccaneers thing, I'll go over it. I'm sure I've said it on the show before. I lived down in Florida for 4 years, and back when Sapp first got drafted, and Dilfer, and Alvin Harper, Eric Rett, those days, and you used to be able to go to the Big Sombrero and walk up there for a 1 o'clock game at like 12:50 and pretty much pick any seat in the place. So me and my father used to go, and we didn't have season tickets, but we went to every home game. So I became a fan of them just by going live. It was cool and everything like that. And there were so little players back then, or so little fans back then, I should say, that before the game they used to have the Buck Zone, and the players used to like sit out there and sign autographs at like 11 o'clock in the afternoon and just kind of hang out and talk to me. I don't know, 30 people show up that early to talk to him. And so it was kind of cool. So that's where I became a Buccaneers fan to a point. I am a Steelers fan by far. If they played each other, I'd root for the Steelers all day long. But I do keep an eye on them just because of that whole thing. Another cool point briefly is I'm very involved in my daughter's Pop Warner cheering and then football. And Eric LeGrand, who was the player paralyzed with Rutgers a couple years back, went through the whole program, played with my brothers, who are 10 years younger than me, 10, 11 years younger than me, played his whole Pop Warner there and everything like that. And with Coach Tiano going over to Tampa Bay, they signed him to a contract, an honorary contract and everything like that. So the kid who would have been a NFL player at some point could live his dream and say he was an NFL player to a point, which was very, very touching from somebody that knows of the situation and knows the person. With the Pop Warner, we did just retire his number, and he came down, and that was a very, very cool local thing that we did. Got some nice press, and there's a good chance that whole thing is going to be on ESPN They were there to film it and everything like that. So pretty cool thing, but just wanted to
segue
that a little bit.
All right. Well, yeah, and let me pause you on that and give you a little bit of props here. For those that listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, you deal with a lot of douchebaggery. Obviously, I'm a father of three, and I really don't involve too much of my kid talk during this because I'm not going to be like, that guy's a fucking cunt. Anyway, my daughter did this. Like, so I try to separate these things, but, you know, I love my kids and everything else. But as far as Stan goes, the reason why, you know, I had Stan last year a lot, and he was a fantastic addition to the show, and he did a lot of things and stuff like that. But this guy busts his ass. He does his fucking job. And I'm telling you, I read his stuff on Facebook and stuff like that. This dude is – you can't be a better connected father with your kids than what Stan's doing. Stan does – I mean, he's coach. You know, he's the ringleader. He's out there just like raising funds for everything his kids is doing, and he's out there coaching stuff and just uplifting people, and I can't give him more credit than I do, you know what I mean? So just big shout out to you on that, and you know what I mean?
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. And real quickly, I played a lot of youth sports growing up, played baseball, basketball, football, and I really do think that besides my parents, when I think back into, you know, when you're in a tough situation in life, sometimes I think back and I always go back to a coach that said X or a coach that said this or that, and that's why I do get so into it and, you know, everything like that. And been very, very lucky with this whole everything to be able to meet some people and do some things and have some conversations with people that really, honestly, I shouldn't even be talking to or have any type of inner working with. And it's pretty cool. Like I said, with the ESPN thing, if that does air, that's just going to be an awesome thing for my daughter's Pop Warner thing. You know, you can't sit there and I mean, when it was filming, I said to one of the other fathers that was standing there, I said, you know, if you think about this, we have a chance to be probably the only Pop Warner team showing up on ESPN in all of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut for the entire year. You can't beat that. So those kids have an opportunity to see themselves on TV, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and we'll get back to the negative side of thing, meaning the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a minute. But again, you know, I give you tons of credit, man, because you really do bust your ass. You put in tons of time, and you really dedicate, you know, your life to your children. And, you know, when there's so many people that abandon that completely, and you go above and beyond, and you do the good thing. And not even just your children. I mean, you're coaching things, you're hosting things, you're raising money for whole organizations. That's helping a lot of people out there. So much credit. And anybody that doesn't know, you know, why Stancy, obviously, you know, and Eric was on earlier, but sorry, Eric. I don't say a lot of nice things on why you ain't on the show. But, you know, Stan ain't on the show for good fucking reasons. And anytime that he's able to, he's more than fucking welcome because that dude, you know what I mean, doing his goddamn thing. So, back to the Bucks. So Nick thinks these motherfuckers is running. Well, some shows he thinks they're running the table. He's just like, well, that's an automatic win, and that's quite a bad record last year. And if you, as a guy who's pretty much a Bucks fan, other than, you know, being a Steelers fan, what would be your pick for them? What their record would be this year?
5-11, optimistically 6-7.
But that's
real.
Nick's gonna hate you. Oh, you're gonna end up liking Nick, but it's gonna take a while for him to like you.
there's too many things that are coming into it. One, they quit on their team last.
Be specific,
team
because
year.
You know he tells you why it's all good.
They definitely quit on the team last year. You've seen that in the San Francisco game, and then after that, they just didn't come out. They wanted to end the season. Yeah, they just wanted to end the season after that. You do have a new coach coming in with what I think is a complete different philosophy than Raheem Morris had. Shiano's a little bit more, I think he's a little bit more of a forceful leader. I think you're not going to see a lot of the nonsense that Raheem Morris, it's funny because being a Steelers fan and Mike Tomlin being so young and connecting with his players, but at the same time some of his leaders being older than him, I think the NFL looked at that and you had a couple of these coaches get hired that were very young to try to do the same thing. But the problem is I don't think you can turn around and be your one of your players' best friends and coach just because you're around the same age when they're not ready for that. I don't think the Buccaneers were ready for that. I don't think Josh Freeman was ready for that. I don't think a couple players on defense were ready for that, where I think that they're going to have a rude awakening with Shiano being a little bit more of a disciplinarian. I think that's going to hurt them a little bit this year, but put them in the right direction for the future. I think they're going to start out a little rough, and that's why I'm taking Carolina here. I think in that second matchup later on in the year, I think that you might see the Bucs go on a nice little 3-5 run to end out the season, but I think the first 12 games are going to be, or 10 games are going to be a little rough.
For them. Dude, I think they will be an improved team. Nick is on the shit where, like, they went from a fucking horrible record to a fucking playoff team once before, so it'll happen now. Because I want it to. Come on, man. It's
a lot different teams.
That sounds great. But I ain't a Bucks fan, so it doesn't sound logical. So even a, you know, I don't know, man. It's just me. I think they're going to be an improved team. It's a building process. How many years of fucking downtime do we go through? And now we're, and hey, man, this year is actually the deciding factor. We can come out and bomb. We go fucking 8-8, and motherfuckers would be like, man, I thought they were good. Who knows, man? I'm not sold on Alex Smith.
I wouldn't
fucking spent years of saying that guy should fucking get hit by a bus. So for him to actually be pretty consistent last year was blowing my mind. I'm like, yeah, you fucking fag. Go, you fucking bitch. I'm yelling insults while cheering for the guy. Like that's how I was last year with Alex, because I spent so many years wishing for his head that I was just like, yeah, you fucking scumbag. That's what you should have been doing. I don't know.
I think that's what the Bucks fall into too a little bit too, is Alex Smith had what, 7 coordinators in his first 7 years or something like that, right?
I guess. So much, man. So much has changed.
And I think you're, like I said, with Shiano coming in, it's going to be a completely different idea. A lot of people I've heard say, oh, Shiano is a run guy, where he's really not. Cause again, I watch a lot of college football and I'm an Ohio State fan, but again, because I live here and, went to a decent amount of Rutgers games, from my house to Rutgers is about 15 minutes. So, I've went to a decent amount of Rutgers games. He gets that perception because of Ray Rice, and he did ride the shit out of Ray Rice when he was at Rutgers. I mean, he damn near abused that guy. But when that guy...
Oh, Ray Rice
Ryan
went to Rutgers?
Ray Rice. Yeah, Ray Rice.
I didn't know he went to Rutgers. That's awesome.
Yeah, and Brian Leonard, when you had both of those guys in the backfield, two guys that, you know, have NFL careers, Leonard is a fullback, so he doesn't get the acclaim so much. But, yeah, you become a running team because in college you play to your strengths. If you have a top-10 quarterback in the country, you're going to throw the ball. If you have a top-10 running back, you're going to run the ball. But once Ray Rice and Leonard graduated, he became a lot more of a throwing offense, or more pro-style offense, run on first down, depending on what the yard marker is, what you do on second down. You know, 2nd and 8, you're throwing. 2nd and 3, you're running. That's the type of offense he's going to run. So, you know, a lot of people, LeGarrette Blount's going to run for, you know, 1,500 yards and this and that. I don't see that. I think he's going to play to his strengths. I think Josh Freeman is a good quarterback. I think he's going to be a solid quarterback. But I think he's going to have growing pains with the new offense to start out the season.
Another thing that Nick made a comment that That running back duo will be the best 1-2 punch in the NFL on the backfield. And what do you?
But again, I think that goes into a lot of people saying Shiano's a run guy. When again, I think he's a pro style offensive coordinator, not offensive coordinator, but coach that's going to have his offense running what's working. So yeah, if LeGarrette Blount all of a sudden comes out and somehow, some way is this superstar, yeah, he's going to run the ball a lot. So he's going to have yards. But no, I don't think that's going to be the number 1-1-2 combo, especially with what you got in the team that they're playing in Carolina, with the two running backs they have. San Francisco has like 7 running backs.
Hunter, Frank Gore, and Brandon Jacobs. I mean, if we can't break that 3 down to 2 that are really effective, then I don't know. And obviously, other teams have the same thing. I'm not just being biased and saying, yeah, we got the crown.
Houston can have a solid 1-2 punch. There's a lot of teams that have a solid 1-2 punch. I mean, that's the new way of running backs in the NFL for the most part.
It is. It preserves them.
Yeah. I mean, you still do got some feature backs, but not as many as in the past. You're definitely down to a lot more two-back systems. And there's a lot of them that are going to be good. I think Tampa Bay is going to be solid, but they're going to come up short just learning how to play under that system.
Right. All right. Next game we got is Seattle at Arizona. Seattle is favored by 2.5 points. Everybody's got Seattle, but Ali.
This game is one of those funny games. Like, it's kind of crazy, but it happens every year with these two teams. This game, right now, everybody's like, oh, I don't care. Who cares? Why did they even play this game? Who cares? But yet, come later on in the season, come week 14, when everybody's talking about the playoffs and everything, this game might decide which one. This game might be the one that decides which one of those two teams has the edge, because somehow, some way, these two teams are going to walk into week 14, 15 at 8-6 with a playoff chance. Just happens every year.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
So the game, I guess, means something. I can care less that this game's even on TV. I don't even have any fantasy players for either team. I won't watch a second of this game, but I guess I went with Seattle just because, I don't know, they got better uniforms.
They're a far better team. Arizona Cardinals don't have shit to fucking Larry Fitzgerald, who's one of the best wide receivers in football, but he don't have shit to throw to him. Come on, man.
Seattle have, though?
No, they have actually improved. They picked some stuff up. They've done enough that I think that they'll be they ain't winning this division. No one playoffs? Again, nobody's making
the team's winning the division. But they'll be in the playoffs.
Nobody's winning the fucking wild card out of that division. Straight up.
I tell you what, look, this is all going on record.
Well, we'll go into that. I'm going to have to pause you on that, because we're going to go into I want to get your thoughts on who's winning divisions and who's getting a wild card. So
I can't
wait. We ain't going into that yet.
You guys all destroyed the AFC North. Oh, terrible.
Right? Okay,
we'll
fine. Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Denver Broncos. Denver's favored by 1.5 at home with the god Peyton Manning. And I got Pittsburgh. Fucking Nick and Ali got Denver, and you got Pittsburgh. So what's your thoughts?
One, Ryan Clark not playing is going to hurt. That always hurts. The fact that the NFL just schedules them against Denver in Denver, like seemingly every year, is just terrible. That is going to hurt. But Indianapolis, back when Peyton was there, didn't exactly have Pittsburgh's number. So I can't see how him moving to another team where the chemistry isn't there yet and everything else is going to help them. I think this is just the Lions only at one just because of, one, the playoff game with one lucky play last year, and, two, the Peyton Manning factor. When they set these lines, they want people to...
Who won a lucky playoff game? Denver?
Yeah.
Ain't no luck about it, and I'll tell you about that. The thing is they don't protect the fucking quarterback. And Tim Tebow ran his fucking ass off like a dog was chasing him to get fucking plays done, to get his ass into a further place. Peyton Manning don't run for shit. They don't protect quarterbacks in Denver, and they have done nothing on that offensive line to make anything better about that situation. But now they have a better quarterback, so they think it's all good. It's not.
Yeah.
They're going to hit him a lot. I'm not down with it. I'm not down with it.
Especially this week, I think LeBeau is going to just tear up that offensive line, like you said, that isn't that good of an offensive line.
I hope so. I hope they run that safety blitz, and I hope your boy Troy Polamalu, who you think is better than Ronnie Lott, and you're dead wrong, it comes through and rips his fucking head off with his fucking hair hanging out of his helmet.
To go on that, at least it is the only team that's close.
Well, hey, man, I can't hate you for putting your fucking claim up because you're the only person to actually put some shit up, but, dude, fucking Ronnie Lott, get your ass out of here with that bullshit.
They're close.
That dude is, no, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he ain't taking Ronnie Lott's spot no time soon, man. It's all good.
I wish you didn't come back with that Deion nonsense with Rob Woodson because that would have drove me nuts.
No, dude, I love Deion. Deion is one of my favorite players of all time. Rod Woodson could fucking hit. Deion couldn't hit. He was one of the
correct.
Best pick guys in the fucking game at his position.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would still give Rod that joint right there.
Yeah.
If I had to cover one guy, one play,
Deion Sanders to cover all day long. But a total football player, Rob Woodson was far better than Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, what Deion did on returns and what he did, all those things. I mean, Deion did a lot of things that made a lot of sense and made, you know, really made him the player that he was. But as far as just straight up cornerback, nah, man, he couldn't hit nobody. And
right.
Rod Woodson was a consistent fucking dude at his position. And believe me, I like Deion more than I like Rod. But I'm a realistic person. That's the thing about me. I'm a realistic dude, and Rod Woodson was a better cornerback, straight up.
I was waiting for it to come because that was always the thing. They would always.
I know. I have fucking most of his jerseys, and so what?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not realistic. All right. So then we got that there. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Baltimore favored by 6.5 at home. I got Baltimore, Nick's got Cincinnati, and the rest of everybody's got Baltimore.
I like Baltimore even more now that the, Art Modell, unfortunately passed away. I think that always plays well in football because whenever you can go out there and win one for the Gipper type speech, that usually does motivate in football for whatever reason. So, that just, helps out the Baltimore pick in my eyes. I think they're just going to go out there and kind of beat up on Cincinnati. It is a division game, not because I'm a fan of the AFC North, but like you said before with the AFC, the NFC East, the AFC North seems to be the other division that does do that, where every game's close somehow, some way. Even when the Bengals were getting two wins a season, one of them was always over Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh was a 12-win team at the time.
Right.
So you do have that. Cincinnati always plays Baltimore well. Even Cleveland comes up and shows up against Baltimore and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. It's just, like you said, it's like the NFC East where they seem to play much, much better than they are against each other. But
for
sure. I think
they're one of those divisions.
Yeah, they're one of those divisions where, like you said before, every team's a rival, no matter
what
the records are.
AFC East is kind of the same as well. But,
Buffalo. I think you could throw Buffalo out of that mix.
Not
Miami,
this year, you
Jets,
can't.
And New England.
Not this year, you can't. I mean, Miami is definitely the low dog, and Miami still plays harder against like a New England or the Jets than most. But still, Buffalo, I think, is going to step up a lot more, and you're going to see, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know about Miami being anywhere in the top three. They might
But Miami will get a win somehow over the Jets or New England this year. Watch.
Sure, sure. Scrappy teams. That's all. But probably not against the rest of the league. So,
right.
So I'm saying, like, but yeah, so, all right. We got that. Last game. We got San Diego at Oakland. San Diego favored by 1.5. And, dude, Monday night and everything, week one, I don't give a fuck about this game. I pick San Diego. Everybody else pick Oakland. Just tell me why, and I'll fucking be done with that. Because
I just go off of
I don't,
past
I don't
history.
Know.
Off of past history, San Diego starts out very, very slow. And I think
does Oakland fucking come out of the fucking cannon or what? Come on.
Well, they do. They start out slow in September, and they wind up being another one like Arizona and Seattle, where all of a sudden at the end of the season, you're like, oh, wow, San Diego has a chance to make the playoffs somehow.
I would agree. I can't pick San Diego. San Diego is one of those teams I have no idea where to go week to week. But
right.
Does Oakland come out of the fucking gate strong?
Maybe
know.
With McFadden. I don't know. If he's healthy and everything not banged up already and everything like
Run
that.
Run DMC.
Think,
okay.
Yeah, I think he might. I don't know.
Basing it on Run
game.
DMC. Maybe everybody's basing it on Run DMC. That's fine. Do whatever. I don't give a shit, honestly. Like this game, I could give less of a shit than anything on this game. And it's opening week, and I couldn't be more hyped for football. And I really don't care that this game even happened. But it's all right. Nah, I get it. All right. Let's go with the divisions. Your predictions, this is week one. We've only had one game gone, and let's not pretend like Dallas is winning this division. Okay, we're going to start with that. Dallas is 1-0. The Giants, the defending Super Bowl champions, are 0-1. And who is winning the NFC East? You got the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, then the new look, Washington Redskins. Who do you got winning that division?
I can't stand the Giants, you know that. I just don't like anything about them. I don't like their fans. I don't like that, you know, when I did bet, I swear to God, I've never picked the Giants game right. If I take them to win, they lose. If I take them to lose, they win. I don't know. That already line
for you, huh?
Played before. Well, yeah, that Artie Lang clip before is exactly me every time I bet.
He's
the Giants.
A Giants fan, too. That's a funny
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how I feel every single time. I can't hit a game with that team for whatever reason. Never could. I don't even try anymore. Have no interest in trying with them anymore.
We're not going with favorites. We're going with who you think is going to win the division.
The sad thing is that they're still going to wind up winning that division. It's going to be a muddle division again like last year.
You're going with the Giants, right?
Going with the Giants with 10 wins.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. You got the NFC North. You got Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings. And by the way, I think the Giants will probably win the division too. You got those four teams right there in the NFC North. Who do you think wins that division? I know the popular vote, but go ahead.
Yeah. I love Ali. You love Ali and everything. But I listened to that show. I don't think you know who he picked on anything, because that was just. I think he picked every team to win it. When Ali was on the other day, I think he picked every team to win every division.
Dude,
he was all over the place.
He just fucking no. He definitely. I really have to explain so much more than I want out of someone who knows football. Ali
right.
knows football. That's the thing. Like Ali might come off like a half retarded child on the air, or on a phone call, or anytime you talk to him. But Ali actually knows football.
Absolutely.
It's just lining it up with him. is the hard part.
Absolutely.
And I was just lining it
all
up.
He was good. It was just I was confused. He had teams that he said we're going to finish with winning wild cards. It was good radio. Definitely good radio.
Oh, it's everything.
So anyway, back to the Packers division there.
NFC North.
The NFC North. Thank you. The Packers win that division. Chicago and Detroit are better, but not better than Green Bay, but have gotten better than last year. But I don't think they have enough to overtake Green Bay.
Now, I would say the Packers win that division. I wouldn't say that they fall enough to actually, come to the point where, they're clearly out. No. Clearly the Packers are still those guys. So, yeah, I would go with the Pack winning that division. And, you just threw out random win-loss on the Giants. What would you say to the Pack?
I guess the Packers having 12 wins this year.
All right. NFC South. Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Carolina.
Well, I'm not going to be quite as bold as Nick and say Tampa Bay wins that hands down.
No, automatic win. That's what he said. Automatic win right there. That's all I know.
But I think Atlanta is going to surprise and be a little better than most people anticipate. I think that you're going to see a tie up top there between them and New Orleans, and I think Atlanta is going to win the tiebreaker for the division.
Wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it. What would be Atlanta's record coming out of that?
10-6.
All right. NFC West. You got the St. Louis Rams. You got the Arizona Cardinals. You got them Seattle Seahawks. Then you got the gods of the NFC West. The San Francisco 49ers. Who's winning that division?
Yeah, San Francisco. That's not even – that's the easiest division to pick.
What do you think we're going to go?
Because you got those games against those other teams, I think you guys are going to wind up getting the number one seed over there in the NFC and be 13-3.
I'm not a bad record. And honestly, I wouldn't completely disagree. I mean, if we could win that opening game, I think it's going to make a big difference. And the world is ours from there. That's one of those games. We could start this season out with a loss. We can, but I hope it's hard fought. I hope we scrap with them. And that's what it is. And if we come out beating the fucking Packers, everybody's going to be talking about the Niners. So, it is what it is, man. AFC East. You got the Buffalo Bills. You got the Miami Dolphins. You got the New England Patriots. And you got the Jets.
New England wins that division hands down. The Jets are going to implode. Miami's terrible. Buffalo has pieces, but I don't know how those pieces are going to fit together. I think in such a small market and small town that they got some pretty big egos all trying to come together, and I'm just not a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan at all at quarterback. But I think
you're probably a little harsh on him, but not anyone division.
I think that he doesn't do a good job of controlling his team as a quarterback. And between Stevie Johnson, what the hell is the guy that went over there from Green Bay? He was their middle linebacker. Bennett, whatever his name is. And Marion Williams, you got. I think you got three guys with huge egos. That's going to be tough when your quarterback's not one to grab somebody by the face mask and control a team. So I think they're going to I think they're...
Just because your quarterback weighs 280 doesn't mean you can start talking about grabbing face masks. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, not every quarterback does that. He's on the shit. He rapes fucking, you know what I mean, under 18-year-olds.
Yeah, but
no,
I'm not even talking about Roethlisberger. Even Joe Montana, who wasn't the biggest of quarterbacks by far.
Right.
Like, he
didn't grab face masks. He had Ryan Lott for that.
Yeah, but he was still getting somebody's face if need be.
Yeah, maybe. They just knew. They just knew. They were amongst God.
So I think...
New England goes what on the season?
I think New England goes 12-4.
Okay. Now we got the AFC North, where you're talking about Cincinnati and Cleveland and your guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, probably the only other contender in that division. Now, who wins that division?
See, I think Cincinnati's a lot better than people are giving them credit for.
I would like that to be so, but as far as winning the division?
No, they're not going to win the division, but they are a lot better than given credit for. This is another division I think that winds up either tied or you know, actually that does wind up tied for the lead. And I would like to hope Pittsburgh gets two wins from Baltimore this year and wins it with an 11-5 record.
You got to go with your guys, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh goes 11-5. Baltimore goes 11-5, but Pittsburgh has the tiebreaker against them, hopefully with two wins, because I just can't say Baltimore's going to beat Pittsburgh. Baltimore, I think, is very, very long in the tooth on defense, and I think they're going to break down a little bit, especially with Suggs is out already, and he's one of their young guys. I think they're
I said that from the start, man. They're really dying out right now. Like, the Baltimore defense is weathering out. And, dude, that is one of the best defense in the history of football.
Absolutely.
Fucking Ray Lewis, you know, doing what he did. Fucking come on, man. That team that won the fucking Super Bowl did not rely on their offensive fucking prowess. There's no way. There's no way that shit would even fucking happen without fucking that Ray Lewis and that defense.
Oh, he played like it was his last day free after murdering somebody the night before.
Yeah, like he might have. you know?
No. Baltimore is a very good team. They're a very good team. I just think the defense is going to break down a little bit. I don't think Ed Reed, I think his days of a full season are done. I think Ray Lewis's days of a full season are done. And like I said, Suggs is hurt already. Kalodi Natu is good, but again, kind of under the same thing as Casey Hampton with Pittsburgh. When you got a guy that's 385, 390 pounds, it's tough to keep him healthy all season just because he's not a healthy individual at that size. And if you get two or three of those out at the same time, that really, really hurts the defense. And it's the same for Pittsburgh. If Troy's out and Harrison's out and Woodley's out all at the same time, it's not the same defense. So,
yeah, problem.
So I think, I think Baltimore's going to run into a three-game stretch like that and maybe go 1-3 in that three-game stretch against teams they should probably beat. And I think Pittsburgh's going to wind up in the same fate where they'll have some games that they should win, but the defense is banged up just because they've got some older players and they play – both teams play a very rough style of football.
I hear you. All right, AFC South, we got Tennessee, Indianapolis, with the new QB, we got Jacksonville, and we got Houston. Rough division, a lot of variables and everything like that. Who do you got winning that division?
I got Houston winning that division just because it's kind of like the San Francisco theory. There is nobody else that deserves to win a division over there. And I think Houston's just head and shoulders above those teams in that division with them, and I think Houston winds up 11-5 also.
Wow. Okay. You got the East. AFC West. Why did I have fucking East wrote down twice? I'm so stupid. You got the West.
You got
I got what?
Keyboard on your mind.
No, not Tebow. I got the NFC West on my mind. So I don't Tebow. I didn't even write down fucking. Anyway, AFC West. I got Denver, Kansas City, Oakland, and San Diego.
If a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound?
Yeah, it does. And it sounds like a little bit of Manning.
So I guess what you're telling me is somebody has to win that division, huh?
Yeah, they do. And it's probably a Manning, even though, like, it's not deserved, but the fucking division is horrible. So he's going to walk in there, people are going to treat him like fucking Jesus. He's going to fucking... Even if this guy goes, like, fucking 10-6, 9-7, and wins the division, they're going to be like, fuck, damn right, fucking Manning in the playoffs. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. I don't know about that. He's lucky if he makes it to the playoffs, but honestly, out of that division, huh?
Denver wins that division 9-7.
Yeah, I agree because I just said it. All right, now out of that, we got two wild cards out of both sides. NFC wild cards. Now you have the Pack, you have the Giants, you have Atlanta, and you have San Francisco coming out of the NFC as your division leaders. Your wild cards, what do you got?
New Orleans and the Bears.
Okay. I don't doubt that much. The Bears, I think, will definitely show up. New Orleans, it'll depend on how their season shows up and how it goes down. Like I said, the NFC East is ridiculous. And a lot of times they come down with, like, just really balling out records type thing. And next thing you know, it's like, who's going to make it and who's not? And a lot of times that NFC East winds up in a wild card just because they really scrap out till the end of the season. It's kind of their nature. AFC, who's the wild cards over there?
Baltimore. Remember when the AFC was very, very good? They're not anymore.
You remember?
Baltimore, and it might be the same as last year with Cincinnati, but
you're picking Cincinnati, or what are you doing?
I'm thinking. I'm gonna go out on a limb to make it fun. And say Seattle, just because they're going to get the two losses against the 49ers.
Well, they're not in the AFC, so that'd be fucked up.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't work, would it?
That'd be really fucking crazy. People be like, this isn't fair. How are they the wild card? It sucks for us. We're playing ball and you just pull those guys over? Really?
Yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah, go with Cincinnati then.
Abandon that second thought where you're pulling the NFC team.
yeah, abandon that thought.
I don't know. Didn't Seattle used to
be in the AFC before all this changed? Is that why I got that?
Dude, I don't know history or stats or, like, you know, I don't know. There's
I just know Joe Montana, Roger Craig.
What? Well, that's all you need to know, but. What do you mean, Joe Montana, Roger Craig? I'm saying, shit. What are you talking about?
That's the only stats in history you know.
No. Fuck that. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, and Ronnie Lott. Three best at their position. Straight the fuck up. Name a better receiver. Name a better quarterback. Don't throw me that fucking Namath bullshit. Don't throw me that fucking Marino bullshit. Oh, we didn't have a team around us. Yeah, okay. You had Duper, and you had quite a receiver core. Okay, couldn't win a Super Bowl. Too bad. Joe Montana, son. That's it. Yeah, Jerry Rice, L, not the fastest guy in the league, but ran the most strategic route ever possible. Like, the dude knew how to run routes so good that he was the best in the league. Not a lot of questions. Ronnie Lott, hey, man, yo, if you need to cut a finger off, because I'm not stopping playing football, because, you know what I mean? Like, I hit motherfuckers, and I'm surely not going to stop hitting motherfuckers. So, guess what? If I don't need to have that finger, cut it off, because the season goes on. that's a beast right there. You know what I mean? And that's only an additive to what he actually contributed to the game. Like, that dude is a fucking monster. But go ahead with you hating on my fucking...
You know, I'm thinking about the Pittsburgh three, and Jermoni Dawson was a center for the Steelers. That
what the fuck, a center? Center bullshit. Who the fuck knows a center? Would you Google that shit while I was talking?
No,
way I'm out of here with
he
a center.
Might be the best center ever.
Oh yeah, you're a center. Center's barely your position. I feel bad for that guy because no one gives a shit.
That's true. Nobody does care, but. He was one of the very, very few centers that actually pulled like a guard. He'd snap the ball and then run down the line and block somebody on the outside. But very, very good center.
Yeah, I'm not going to doubt you because I don't know the fucking name of my center right now, let alone best ever. Jesus Christ. I mean, you're really grasping at straws, you know? Just call it.
You know, you got Jack Lambert in, at linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Jack Lambert. Yeah, black and white photos. All right. That's fantastic. Dude, I don't. But, yeah, man. Fucking.
Terry's got a bunch of Super Bowl rings, but that's only because of his defense.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who got a what?
No, Bradshaw has a bunch of Super Bowl rings like Montana, but that was only because of his defense.
Yeah, still curtain. Still curtain all day. Mm-hmm. Nah, dude, you know what I mean? The guys are definitely giving, you know, put up your shit. I would definitely give credit where credit is due. But I'm just saying best all time as far as that argument goes. And, yeah, you put up some names, but I can't agree with all of them. Yeah, like I said, Woodson, I'll give you that. And
Joe Green. There's nobody.
Oh, Joe Green. Yeah, Joe Green all day, man. Yeah, I mean Joe Green. Okay, all day. Throw a jersey at me, homie. And then, yeah, I mean, I can't give you the Troy John. There's no way he's better than fucking Ronnie Lott. And I'll ask a bunch of other people that don't like either team. And I guarantee you Ronnie Lott wins that joint. But dude is the first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not trying to say, yeah, I'll fuck him. Nah, dude, I'm realistic. But,
he's got to be the closest person.
No, not really. If you look it up, like, he's like number five.
Yeah, Atwater. Atwater was good.
It's like black and white photos and niggas that just used to clip people. Yeah, I mean, from the safety position, it was like, oh, that guy was a shit.
I don't know. The thing with Troy is the when he jumps over the line and sacks the quarterback that hasn't even barely taken a snap. That's just
bro. No, I mean Troy is one of those guys. There's those guys that they're the. The Troy Polamalu, there's the Ray Lewis, there's the Patrick Willis, that they covered the whole field. Like, they're so involved in so many plays that those guys are completely involved in everything. And that makes that side of the ball that much better. And he's one of those guys, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame because of being one of those guys. But
so, is it crazy that someday that I'm disappointed that I have to wait till 8:00 at night? Like that bothers the shit out of me. Like I want that to be a 1:00 game so fucking bad.
Are your Steelers?
Yeah, like I don't want to have to.
I'd rather be prime time. Dog, I can't believe that I have actually 7 games that show up on my TV. I don't have the NFL package. And just having Comcast and, you know, the HD or whatever, I got 7 games coming at my TV this year. That's fucking fantastic as a 49er fan. I couldn't be further from that team. Normally I see like 1 or 2 games and we get the shit kicked out of us. We're talking like, you know, several years ago, only maybe 3 or 4, but like 3 or 4 years ago, it was like, oh yeah, you got like 2 televised games and you're losing by 21 by the second quarter. And I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. This is fucking awesome. What do I do with my night? Oh, where's the vodka?
I guess this is where I get spoiled in sports, and not because, and I think you know this about me, I'm not a front runner in any way, but being a Yankee fan, being a Steelers fan, and even an Ohio State fan, the fact that my team is on the TV, obviously the Yankees living here, but even still, where I kind of get sick of the primetime games. And I guess that's just being a spoiled fan of those. Like, I hate waiting until 8 o'clock at night. Just put the fucking game on TV for me. With any of them, I hate, like, Yankees, Red Sox during the 8 o'clock at night, and then I'm fucking got one eye open when I got to wake up for work the next morning because I stayed up till midnight to watch the Yankee, Red Sox game. I hate when Pittsburgh playing everybody on Sunday night. Cause I'm sure they got at least one of the Baltimore games as a Sunday night. The other one's probably a Monday night. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Enough. I hate going to work tired in the morning because my fucking team has to be on prime time 7 times a year, every year. So,
I hear you, man.
I guess it's a spoiled thing, but I'd rather just the 1 o'clock game or 4 o'clock game or whatnot.
Yeah.
Just put it on. So,
I'm about to wrap this up. Gone long enough. I got to work tomorrow. I didn't even plan on doing a show today. It is fucking 3 hours, for Christ's sake. It was a mini-sode, and it was longer than my last night show. So, fucking dude, you're welcome any fucking time. You already know where to hit me. So, I mean, any time that I'm broadcasting and you're available, you're definitely more than welcome. Just keep sending me them picks because I'll keep broadcasting them. I want bragging rights at the end of the season because I'm going to beat y'all ass.
Oh,
I'm telling
you. Definitely get my picks. I do want to compliment you on one thing real quick. I listened to the Teddy Hart interview the other day. I was working overnight shift and was listening to a lot of the Yakuza Kick radio. And I got to say, it was very impressive that you were able to interview that complete and total mental lunatic and keep it flowing a little bit so that
funny.
It made some kind of sense because he was definitely off the wall and definitely all over the place. And,
I've actually gotten several messages from several people saying that, yes, I've never heard someone control Teddy the way that you did. And then, hey, man, I enjoy Teddy. He's off the fucking chain and obviously hard to deal with. And I already knew going in, this dude is off his rocker, but he's also very talented. So let me give him a platform and let me work this the way where it's going to provide him, you know, with the respect he's due, but in the same token, provide everybody else with the entertainment that they want out of Teddy. So that's what I try to do, you know?
Next time you have him on, you have to ask him about gangsters in Calgary, because I really didn't know there was gangsters in Calgary. Give me a whole new perspective on
No, that was the gang. Well, no. He was talking about, like biker gangs and shit. And all of a sudden when he said, what was the term? I forget what it was. It was something like, called him a something. And that meant like he fucked kids. Like I didn't ever heard that before.
A goof
means you fuck kids in Canada. I never knew that. Like, holy shit. Like I wouldn't even, goof isn't even raw enough for me to call somebody. You know what I mean? Like I would feel like I'm on the Disney Channel to be like, you're a goof.
In
Canada, it means I fuck kids. That's not good. All right.
Disney must not do good ratings in Canada.
Dude, yeah, not at all. Because Goof Troop would definitely be an R-rated show. You know?
Just based off the name.
Goofy? What is this character? He's fucking... That guy is clearly committed to fucking kids. Like, oh, man. I like Mickey, but this Goofy guy, I don't like the way he's looking at me.
So, yeah, that was a great job with that interview to keep it flowing somewhat and keep him...
Thanks, man.
Keep him staying on topic.
Thanks, man. You know, it was what it was. I knew what I was dealing with, so it was fine, and I was ready for it, and I enjoyed it, man. I like Teddy. I think he's a good dude. He's off his fucking rocker, but I told him he's batshit crazy, and he's like, I've never heard that before. And I couldn't imagine that he's never heard that before, but, man, I like that dude. He is what he is. What can you do? He's making his cats do moonsaults.
Some good drugs.
Who does that? Yeah, something. But, hey, man, yeah, I'm going to wrap this shit up. Like I said, you're welcome any fucking time. And just hit me up, dog. You know what it is. All right. So, no problem, homie. Jack, good night, Stan. That's my dude, Stan, right there. I mean, he's one of my straight-up dudes. I mean, like, I know this dude for years and years and years. Over a decade. And, yeah, we've been on and off. You know, I hooked up with him recently. Yeah, more than I did in the past, which is great because, you know, I miss guys like that are actually straight-up dudes. I mean, again, I told the story a million times, but when I started actually watching wrestling again, it was partially because of Stan. And we would sit there and we watched fucking Raw, we would watch fucking Nitro, and we would talk shit at each other for fucking hours. It was ridiculous. We would just fucking, we would talk shit. Like, we would, I would cling on to one motherfucker and he would just try to piss me off. We'd be all fucked up and he would just try to piss me off. Be like, I like that dude. Nah, you're wrong. I like that dude. And just so we had an argument against each other on some shit that we fucking watch. And that was fantastic stuff, man. Like, the rivalry within wrestling, whether it be within the ring or whether it be amongst fans, we had a connection. We would get together and we had a plan before the show even went on. We're going to get some beer, we're going to get some tree, we're gonna get whatever the fuck we do, we're going to chill the fuck out, here comes the show. And about midway through the show, we were arguing about shit on the show. Come on, man. That's like fucking commentators. We going out there like fucking healing face and shit. That's fantastic stuff, man. Love that fucking dude. Like I said, Stan is fucking welcome anytime. He still didn't hang the goddamn phone up, but, I mean... That dude, I mean, there's only a couple people that I'll tell you straight up special to me. Most motherfuckers are straight up right off. I don't give a fuck. But I love that dude. I mean, he's doing a lot of shit on his personal level, so I know he's not able to be here every week, and I understand that. But, I mean, is what it is. Anyway. Plugs that I didn't get to do last night, even though I did them on a little fucking video about bullshit. Wrestling Soup was supposed to be on tonight, but of course, well, not of course, wasn't, but of course they will be on next Thursday, 10:15 Eastern Time. WrestlingSoup.com. Check the motherfuckers out. They their shit. They are the shit. There is hundreds of people who are hating the fact that Wrestling Soup wasn't on tonight, but it didn't come together for whatever reason. But listen, those guys put on a fantastically comical show. They put on some shit right there that you need to fucking listen to. Because to me, I think it's funny, and I'm a critical motherfucker. So if I think it's funny, y'all gonna find it hilarious. You know what I mean? And at times, to me, they're hilarious too. Shit, hit them up. Anthony Missionary Thomas, Joey Numbers, Wrestling Suit Motherfuckers. That shit. Then you got Two Moms, One Show, which is the culmination of the other sides of Yakuza Kick Radio and Wrestling Soup, because you got my girl, Nina, and you got Mish's girl, Tink, combining to do a show, Two Moms, One Show, on Tuesday nights, www.blogtalkradio.com/Yakuza. Same way you're listening to this shit, if you're listening to this shit. Imagine that. Now, then you got, here's where we get a little more deep. All right, you got, man, I'm fucking up with this because I don't even got the plugs for this shit. Right. You got the Sports Den. They go on at like 10:30 or some shit on, I don't know. Get fucking Sports Den on your iTunes. Get that shit on there every week so you can download it, because that's what I do. So as far as like logging in live, I don't know, but you need to find out, because I'm telling you, these guys cover fucking sports from top to bottom. My dude Nick, he's the shit, man. He knows his baseball stuff. He likes a horrible baseball team. He likes the Evil Empire, and then he also likes the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he thinks that they're going to be world beaters this year. So that's cute. And then otherwise than that, the dude knows this shit. You know what I mean? So big fucking shout out to that guy. And listen to him, because he really knows this stuff other than his biases, which is, you know, the probably the only parts I'll be severely wrong on this year. But it is what it is. Everybody's got their biases. Everybody has their skeletons or whatever. His skeletons are Tampa Bay Bucks. But, oh, it's okay. That dude is loyal, and there's a lot of credit goes to loyal people. So, by all means, and I'm giving long plugs this week, because I didn't get to do them last night, and that pissed me off. Okay, so the Sports Den, and then my dude Chef Doob over there. You know, he's one of those Boston kid. That's right, dude. Yeah, kid. Yeah, I just call you a kid 15 times, even though you're 34 years old. That fucking guy, he knows a shitload about sports. On top of that, this guy cooks his ass off. He'll tell you fucking recipes you never thought of. He'll tell you ways to cook the shit that you've been cooking that'll make your shit better. That fucking guy, again, tune in to Two Moms, One Show. He's been doing the recipes on there. He does recipes on Sports Den on a weekly basis. You better check that shit out if you like food. If you don't like food, you're going to die, motherfucker. That's all I'm saying. You're going to fucking die. I mean, that guy knows what the fuck that he's doing. That's all I'm saying. All right? Stern Nation. Now, Howard Stern is clearly the king of all media. All right? So, when you talk about a podcast that's going to cover the king of all media and everything he's doing, and everything he's doing week to week, whether it be AGT, which I'm a fucking mad as fuck about some AGT. Yo, how the fuck they cut that fucking light show at the motherfucking AGT? I'm borderline fucking not watching this shit no more. Because that was my pick to win the whole shit. The fuck, this little dancing fucking faggot ass motherfucker. Fuck you little punk ass girls, you cry on TV. Go fuck yourself. The fucking light show doesn't even go on. There is no fucking hate on that act. The fuck is going on? Yo, fuck you motherfuckers, for real. Anyway, Howard Stern is a shit, and all his shows are fantastic. You know, from here to back in the day, and, man, a podcast that you can get to review Howard Stern's week-to-week stuff going on, you got to check out Stern Nation. You got my dude over there, Andrew Carluck. You got B Slammin' and Stephasaurus on the motherfucking podcast. You check them out because they ain't bullshitting. They're going to cover top to bottom, whether it be recaps, whether it be the after show. They got it all on lock. They are your fix for Howard Stern week to week. If you want to get the wrap up, you want to get it all condensed within a couple hours, you hit them up. Because I'm telling you, Stern Nation is the place to be. That's what it is. All right? Now, let me talk about Women Love Wrestling 2. Now, these lovely ladies over there from Canada, they give you a different perspective because you don't see this type of thing. You know, everybody, for the most part, these podcasts come over here from America. America. And you're just getting, yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I was actually there, and I ain't even fucking like it. Like, yeah, these are two women. They're over there from America. Yeah. Fucking horrible plug. What the fuck? They're over there from Canada. And they have their own view on, you know, the WWE product for the most part. And, you know, in life and everything, they cut a bunch of stuff. And they are fantastic analysts on the wrestling product, mostly TV. And they really put out a good fucking thing. They do the show on the same night as me, but I'm telling you, go hit them up on the iTunes. Hit up all of our shows. This is a family right here. This is a team. You know what I mean? This is what I said like last night on the video. This is my roster because we on the same team right here. So we're talking about the Wrestling Soup, Women Love Wrestling 2, Two Moms, One Show, Stern Nation, Sports Den, holla at us. For real. This is the shit right here. Y'all check all of this out, and they're all completely different flavors. And you're going to enjoy some of it, maybe not all of it. I'll probably be the one you don't enjoy. But if I turn you on to one of these other people, have at it. Because I'm telling you what, this is good stuff. I have all this shit on my iPod. And the only one I don't listen to, me. So anyway, I love you motherfuckers. If you're listening, great. I never thought that I was going to go 3.25 hours on this bitch. This is the mini-sode, it's crazy because I fucking done far more time than, what I did last night. So, it's insane. Oh, Stern Nation, yo, let me give you the fucking commercial.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Do you take loads to the face and everywhere else?
Oh, Robin, that's inappropriate. Mustulate you.
Baba Booey.
A-19. Benji is cockstrong.
I want it right now.
I ate my brother.
Yeah! Stern Nation.
Stern Nation. Check them out on Podomatic, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Any girls ever had two penises in their ass?
I have, twice.
You should have mentioned that. I mean, that might have put you over the top.
Of course. Wild shit. And then Wrestling Soup next fucking Thursday is like...
If you will, put this down.
Your only number that rules.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Yo, everybody else on that list that I read off, the Sports and the Women Love Wrestling 2, and all that, get your shit up. And myself, I don't have a commercial neither, because Mish plays favoritism. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Nah, I love that dude. He does what he does. He has the talent, and he's selective with it. So, anyway, about to wrap this up, all I got to say is Sunday, we got the motherfucking...
San Francisco.
You're goddamn right. And I ain't bullshitting. And I'm going to be fucking crazy on fucking Sunday. And I'm going to post some videos because that's my new shit. I'm posting videos now. So you check me the fuck out. J-Cat Morris on motherfucking Facebook. Check me out there. I'll tell you what the fuck I'm doing. You see my promo earlier tonight? That's the motherfucking duck. That's a crested duck. Yes, he has an afro, if you would like to call it that. Fantastic. All right? See you motherfuckers on Wednesday night. Check out Two Moms, One Show first. On Tuesday, same joint. Then check out me. Possibly Women Love Wrestling 2 and The Sports Den. Then check out Wrestling Soup. And whenever Stern Nation comes on, you've got a lot of shit to listen to. As far as I'm concerned, you're way behind. And, man, you're still listening to me. It's crazy. You should be iTuning all this bullshit. Alright? Check me out next week. Peace!
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio! And we're taking over!